just wait.
To Nowhere Mulberry, film, television, pop culture. It's where you find it.
One, two, three, four. Bum.
She's got a smile that it seems to me reminds me of childhood memories, where everything was as fresh as a bright blue sky.
All right, Tommy, you're the oldest. I'm counting on you. Come on.
She's got eyes of the bluest skies as if they thought of rain. I hate to look into those eyes and see now.
Nice vibrato, buddy. All right, Alice, let's go.
Flat.
You're so flat. I don't even know. You don't even look good while you're singing. The worst thing I've ever heard. This is $1,200 a week for voice lessons, and this is what I get? Okay, I'm going to save it with the solo.
Bow, bow, I'm dead. I can sing high like this. And I can sing high.
Jesus!
I don't like boats. I don't like water. I'm a man, not a fish.
You complain endlessly.
You look like a woman, you stupid haggis.
Haggis? What is haggis?
Sheep's stomach stuffed with meat and barley.
And what do you do with it?
You eat it. How revolting. Achoo. Be still, for God's sake. You'll tip us over.
So?
I cannot swim, you Spanish peacock.
I'm not Spanish, I'm Egyptian.
You said you were from Spain. You're a liar.
You have the manners of a goat. And you smell like a dung heap. And you have no knowledge whatsoever of your potential. Now! Get out!
No! Help! 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 Help me, I'm drowning!
You can't drown, you fool! You're immortal!
Thank you.
kidding, Tony? You know cops can't read.
What does incompetent mean? Hey, what does baffled mean?
Yeah! Hey, everybody! Hey! We're back! Good times! Hey, everybody, it's me. I am the J-Strom, your humble host of the Nowhere in Mulberry Show. Welcome. We talk film, television, and pop culture. We're finally back. I'm so glad to be back doing what I do best, which is talk about things that don't matter. I don't do it alone, though. I do it with Laura, the Nymph Fitness Guru. Hey, how's it going, Laura?
Hey, it's going great.
Steven is not here yet, but we have Mulberry Bill, the Mulberry Historian. How's it going, Bill?
I guess I'm an okay consolation prize.
Hey, Bill, how's it going, buddy?
I'm so good, Jason.
Yay.
How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. It's great
That's
to see you
excellent.
Too, Laura. Haven't seen you in a while. And too bad Steven's not here. It sure would be great if he was here, and that way I could introduce him. So, unfortunately, he's not here, so I will not introduce Steven! Hey! What are you doing here? Where'd you come from?
Sneak in.
Hey, welcome, Steven. Haven't seen you in a while either.
I know. It's been a while.
Good to see you. We also have a special guest in our audience, Laura's son, Severin.
Live studio.
Hey, Severin. He's not on the mic. Just kind of yell, hey, Severin.
Hey.
I think that picked you up. Unfortunately, Severin, you can't hear what's going on the show. So we need like a, Bill, what we need is like a sound room where a speaker is in there, like a solid state.
Oh, yes.
Single speaker.
A green room.
Yeah, a green room where you could kick back on the couch and just listen. Okay. So he'll be able to hear us, but
just
won't be able to hear Bill. So
that's
later,
okay.
Later,
I'm not important.
Severin, later on, you download the podcast, and you're like, so this is what they were talking about. But guys, it's so great to have you all here. And you know what's cool is I actually got to talk to Bill and Laura. I mean, I talk to Bill every day. Come on, Bill, right? Huh?
Yep.
We're buddies.
Every day.
We're always talking. But last Friday, when I knew we weren't going to do a show, I was like, let's do this NIMH movie night, Bill. Let's try it. Because we've known for a long time that you could watch movies with friends on your Xbox. But we never.
I remember when we were watching the E3 coverage from a few years ago when they announced that. And we were like, man, this is awesome.
And we'd never tried it. I've never tried it. Had you ever tried it before, Bill? With anybody?
Nope. With myself.
Yeah, I've watched
it's not
things
as
by myself.
That way.
So what's cool is, you know, I went on the Facebook and Twitter and asked for people in droves to show up. So it was pretty awesome. No, I'm kidding. Whoever showed up. I just wanted to watch an MST with Bill. Because, you know, let's face it. Severin, you're a fan of Mystery Science Theater. How many of you watch by yourself? And you wish, like, I wish somebody's here to laugh with me. Yeah, it happens. I know. And Bill, you know what I'm talking about too, right?
Yeah, I think I've seen every episode by myself.
So aww. So
people see me watching that shit and they go, "What the hell are you watching?"
So we
why would you watch that?
We hop on the Xboxes, Bill, and we form a party. And Swiley was there, Frayed Knot, Don Chep, and
was asleep.
Yeah. Todd tried to show up. I'm not forgetting anybody, am I?
No, I think
feel
that
bad.
Was it.
Todd's got to fix his gnat.
His gnat.
And what happens is all of a sudden all your avatars, Xbox avatars, are in a movie theater together. So you're
watching.
It was
very meta watching our avatars watch their avatars.
So we're all sitting in the theater together watching the movie. And what's funny is you can see your silhouettes watching the movie and the MST silhouettes watching their movie.
I took a picture of it on my phone. I just never posted it.
It's pretty awesome. I felt like I was watching the movie with everybody because we had our headsets on.
Yeah,
we could talk and stuff, except for the horrible echo on something. I think everybody needs to turn their headphones down a little.
Yeah. Someone either had their headphone up way too high or they were using the speaker audio from the television.
Right. So you go, hey, how's it going? Hey, how's it going? Hey, how's it going? Yeah. It's like, oh, Ricola.
There should be a rule. Headsets only.
But it was awesome, and we watched. Tell Bill,
the Beast of Yucca Flats.
Beast of Yucca Flats.
The Coleman Francis art film in which everyone speaks off camera.
I understand the yucca part, but not the flat part.
Well, it's called Yucca Flats.
No, remember that is in the movie. Because they're always climbing on mountains. And he goes, I'm
such an idiot.
They understand the yucca part, but not
the flat. It's going to take a while for me to get used to it again. The throwing jokes out and them not going completely over my head.
No problem, Bill. But then we watched The Greatness of the Final Sacrifice.
I'm sorry, but Yucca Flats is pretty great.
That was the worst movie I've ever seen in my life.
I told you before it started. It's a 51-minute movie, and it feels like 3 hours.
Oh, you were right.
I wasn't prepared for the fact that there's no one talks in the movie. It's all like
they ADR.
They added all the dialogue. That's what A stands for in ADR. All the dialogue replacement. So everyone's just walking, and you see him from the back, and you hear him going, hey, what's going on? And it's like
complete.
It almost seems like something that they would do on MST.
Yeah, they basically MST'd their own movie.
Yeah. And it's in wide shots, or my favorite ones are whenever like two people are standing by the car, and their heads are blocked by the top of the car, so all you see is their bodies, and then the ADR, like the dialogue happens.
My favorite is the kids. God, we're lost. It's just like, but then afterwards, Bill, we watched The Final Sacrifice, which is a classic.
With a Canadian.
And we watched it with a Canadian, which made it even better.
Yes. It was great having Freyd not there, because he would like point out different Canadians that they're referring to that we have no idea.
I was like, who's that?
We're ignorant Americans.
Yeah. And I wanted to go like, hey, have you ever been on this street? Do you know where this is filmed? Have you been there?
Well, he knew Saskatchewan.
Mm-hmm.
He knew that it was in Alberta that they filmed it.
I guarantee you he's been in the same room with Rousedower and Troy Pipper at one point, and he had no idea.
No, it's Pipper's the prospector.
Oh. Wait, who's Troy's last name? What is
Mike Pipper and Troy something.
I always thought his name was Pipper. Sorry.
Troy Zonka.
Yeah, that's it. Larry Zonka. But all this week, whenever I'm going to eat something, I'll go, food! Eat your food!
After we watched it, just for the hell of it, I started, just researching it. Because I've seen The Final Sacrifice so many times, but I never really bothered to learn anything about it. And the guy that directed it, this Jardis Greatanus, or Greatanus, I guess this was his student film.
Wow.
And he actually borrowed 16mm cameras from the school and shot it. But also, he makes all those HBO making of things, like whenever there's a new movie coming out. He does the making of documentaries that are like 15 minutes long that show on HBO.
Wow, so he's actually still working.
Yeah, he is.
Wow, you sound surprised by that.
And then, Bill, the next day, you and I watched Soul Taker, and that was awesome.
Where do you keep your acorns?
Why is his face so small?
Got a small face.
Yeah, he's got a small face.
Robert Starr's birthday, June 3rd.
I saw that you posted.
And you know what's funny is it's been so long since I've seen something like Soul Taker that I remember the lines wrong. And then when I see it, I'm like, oh, that's what it is. But it doesn't matter if you're quoting it wrong because you're still laughing.
No, it's still hilarious.
What does incompetent mean?
Hey. Well, Bill, one thing I want to talk about is you and I are talking about doing a regular commentaries again.
Yes.
It's almost like a summer thing. Basically, I'm trying to turn Nowhere in Mulberry into a job. But why is that funny, Laura?
It's not.
Yeah, you're being awful judgmental.
Thanks a lot. Well, judging by Laura's laugh, it's impossible.
Who do you think
Bill,
you are?
So
I ever say that again.
Oh. But, Bill and I, we are going to do commentaries, and I'll let you guys know more about that soon. Bill and I are planning stuff. I don't want to promise anything I don't deliver, like the best of Nim. But that is coming soon, too. And, hell, maybe we'll have some kind of pack with
hell,
it.
Hell, that's pretty much already done, though.
Yeah,
it
is.
You just got to go over it once or, you know, again.
Yeah.
You're trying to tighten it up. You want to make it the best possible show ever.
Totally. And I hope that everyone supports Nim. And most of all, I hope you want to listen to us riff or do commentaries or whatever. And you want to hear our best of. So hopefully that will be cool.
I think we'll probably do a mixture of both. We'll do actual commentaries on films we love and riffs on films that ain't so good.
Right. And I'm just excited to do it, Bill.
I'm more than excited.
You know what's funny is on accident I discovered the Spoony experiment.
Yes.
This website we've been going to now. He's a lot like the angry Nintendo nerd, the Cinemassacre guy.
Yeah.
I forget his name.
I think
James...
actually I don't know. I think he's got a better delivery.
He's got his own thing. That's what's cool. He's not like copying or anything. He's developed his own type of thing where he basically reviews horrible movies and sits in his chair in his I'm kind of mad at myself that we didn't get involved in video a little bit, but maybe we should now start getting more involved in video.
Oh,
Bill.
We will. We're going to branch out.
Learn
people
how to
are going
to
go, wow, those guys are really attractive.
hell yeah.
Well, you know, and I've got the equipment now that we can do, like, gaming videos and whatnot. I think we're going to – this is going to be a big year for Nowhere in Mulberry. We're going to really start whipping some cool shit out.
Awesome.
Bill and I are planning things. We're going to turn NIM into our own corporation.
Yep. NIM Limited.
NIM Limited. I'm listening for a laugh from Laura. Again.
I'm not laughing.
Not judging. Okay. You done judging,
I'm
Laura?
Done judging.
Hey, guys, we got a Twin IM episode.
Yay.
Number 4. You guys want to check this out?
Oh, that sounded really exciting.
Oh, Laura, judgmental Laura's
no,
back.
No, I love the Twin IM.
I want to hear more suspect romance.
All right, you guys ready for this? All right, let's check out Twin IM number 4, Adam and Ross. Let's check it out.
September 24th, 2005, Episode 4 of Nowhere in Mulberry. Bill calls Jason an ass. Jason gets irritated with Vanessa. Steven's not being used to his ability, and Vanessa is rolling and bouncing. Welcome, everybody, to Episode 4 of Twin IM. The name is that's just going to stick, no matter what everybody says.
Apparently so. Yeah, that's it. Welcome, everyone. Here we are back again. Let's do this. Let's delve right in.
Okay.
When we first started listening back to these episodes, like episode 1 mainly and episode 2, Vanessa, it was a little hard to take. It was a little hard to swallow.
Yeah, it took a little getting used to.
A little hard to stomach.
I'm not going to be swallowing Vanessa at all.
But yeah, so we thought this was a funny clip.
And then I'm very excited about it.
The EVP thing is like, when you guys hear it, it's going to scare the pants off you.
I don't have any pants on.
Whoa. That's something interesting for the listeners there.
Yeah, so they can run away and hide.
I think it's just kind of the way she says it.
Like, ah!
Like, you know, all the stuff afterwards doesn't really do it for me, but the way she said, play it again real quick, okay, that part.
I don't have any pants on.
Whoa. That's something interesting for the listeners there.
Yeah, so they can run away and hide.
Huh?
Like, not that.
Oh, I get what you're saying.
Yeah, there you go. It's called self-defecating.
Oh, self-defecating. That's why you don't have pants on.
All right, that's good.
He said self-defecating. That's why you don't have any pants on. I mean,
all right, that was good. Before. All right. No. Okay, a drop is born right here at 33 minutes. Oh, we should set this up. They're talking about the show Threshold, some show that I don't think is on television anymore.
He's imitating a midget or something?
Yeah, he's talking about Peter Dinklage.
Turn your volume down, too, because it's, like, kind of blaring out.
Okay.
I think they underutilize...
Hey, where are the white women at?
They underutilize Brett Spiner and Peter Dinklage.
Though. My favorite line from Peter Dinklage in the episode is like, hey, why do they call them black boxes if they're orange? It's like, probably because they find them charred black. Probably because that's the way they find them. They're charred
and
black.
And
okay.
And what's with the little midget? He's like, he's all pissed off.
Hey, Not a minute.
The short little person.
Wow.
Whatever.
Let's all give Steven a wow. Wow.
Wow.
Hey.
I thought I was bad.
Did you guys get kind
he's
of
all
uneasy?
Pissed off because he wasn't, because he's like, I'm not being used to my abilities.
There's been an uneasy feeling in both episodes for me.
It just got totally just like so glossed over. You know what I'm saying?
It did. I wonder if Jason must have listened to it and just been like, oh, that's gold. I got to do that.
Well, thankfully, you know? Jason stopped talking. Like, right at the perfect time to where it was just completely isolated,
yes.
Steven using it. Because what would life be like if we didn't have that drop?
I know. And it's amazing how much Jason, like, tries to set it up in, like, later episodes. Like, oh, that's great, Vanessa. So you were being used to your abilities. It's just like, what? It's so great.
It is awesome. Okay.
There's a lot of these drops are still used today or were used really heavily during, like, throughout the progression of the show. And so it's really neat to pay special attention and take notice when a drop is born.
Uh-huh.
So here's a good one. And this is probably quite possibly one of my favorite ones.
Oh, that's the Napoleon Dynamite movie.
John Hurt.
He's got a small part in it. But movies opening this week are Flight Plan, which they gave a B+.
Now,
Wolf
wait.
Bounce.
Hey, Vanessa.
Yeah.
What was number two again?
Exorcism of Emily Rose.
No!
All right.
Oh, God. Roll Bounce coming out this week.
Roll Bounce. Oh, man, I gotta pull that. Vanessa, do you realize...
say that again.
Sometimes you'll say a word. You don't sound like a hick at all when you talk, but every once in a while you'll say something and you sound like a hillbilly. You went, Roll Bounce.
You went, Roll Bounce.
Yeah. All right, so that's pretty much it for episode 4. Very good episode, you know.
Solid. Two drops were born, which is nice. You know, there's a lot of history chalked up in this
yes,
episode.
Yes, there is. So, all right, thank you very much.
See you guys later.
All right, thanks,
later
guys.
Later days, everybody.
Later, man. All right, that's awesome. You know, one thing when I listen to those old episodes, Bill, it sounds like sometimes you or Vanessa are in the other room. Our audio is so bad.
Yeah. Well, you know, Skype would constantly readjust it.
Yeah, it's funny, like... There's even one part where you're talking and I just start talking over you and I'm not even sure at the time I didn't do it on purpose, but you know, it's just like, I guess I didn't hear you as well and you hadn't finished your thought. That's what I noticed. So I apologize for that, Bill.
Oh, well, thank you. It's been a long time coming.
It's been about 6 years now.
6 years.
But I love it.
But you know, I was still angry about it.
I'm sorry.
Now we can let it go.
But I love those old, the birth of the drops. That's my favorite, you know.
I was waiting for the part where I called you an ass.
Roll Bounce.
That must be in the extended cut.
Oh, yeah. I can't believe you've ever said something like that. Unbelievable.
No, I would never insult you.
Not being used to my ability.
Oh!
Well, thanks a lot, guys. Can't wait to hear episode 5 of Twin I Am. Now, guys, we have some voicemails. Let's get those. They've been stacking up while we're gone, guys. Let's check this out. This is Todd, who attempted to join our movie night, and
miserably.
It was kind of sad. I was like, Todd, are you there? And he goes, hey, guys. Yeah, it's not letting me connect. I don't know why, but I guess I'll see you guys later.
It's like, I just thought I'd drop in and say hi.
We're sitting there eating our popcorn. Aw, sorry, Todd. It's kind of like, guys, it's kind of like what happens in the movies is like, hey, it's sold out. They're not letting me in. There's no seats left.
You're texting your friends
bummer,
on the
buddy.
Inside.
Yeah. I'll see you tomorrow. All right, bye.
You're my ride.
I'll just wait in the car.
I got the last ticket.
So let's check this out. Hey, Todd.
Hey, guys, from Nowhere in Mulberry. This is Todd from the MICH. Yes, not the ATL this time. I am actually in Michigan. West Side. For my brother-in-law's wedding, and I am calling you from a Buffalo Wild Wings, another party before the wedding, amazing. So I wanted to give you guys a shout, because I know you guys were going to record tonight. I wanted to say that last week was a great idea. I'm sad that I could only participate for probably 20, 30 seconds. I plan to, when I get home,
sorry,
Bill,
Todd,
to request your assistance on helping me be able to participate for a little bit longer. Next, I wanted to say that I went and saw the X-Men movie, and no spoilers, but it was a great, great, great movie. it's amazing what you can do with in 1 year's time. It was pretty. I was very, very happy with what they did with On That. And the two cameos that they had in it were freaking awesome. I enjoyed those. And I hope you guys got to see it today.
We anyway, didn't. Thanks, Todd.
I got to get back to the party. I just wanted to call you guys, say hey. And we'll listen to the show on Wednesday. Talk to you guys later. Bye.
Oh, thanks, brah.
Yep. I thought he was going to say they're having the reception at Buffalo Wild Wings.
<That's> nice. Classy. Awesome. All right, we got another voicemail from a listener that we don't hear from often, but when we do, he's always awesome, Julian. Hey, Julian, what's up?
Hey, guys, it's Julian. I just wanted to call and leave a voicemail because I listened to last week's episode, and you actually talked about a couple things that was personal for me. Number one being, first of all, I didn't know that Gordon Ramsay had a new show called Great Escape. But the thing is, that first episode of the second season that you guys talked about, where he goes to Cambodia, well, I'm Cambodian. So I thought, oh, okay, this should be interesting, because I've seen Anthony Bourdain go to Cambodia. I've seen all these guys go to Cambodia, but I never saw Gordon Ramsay do it. So thankfully, I was able to watch the episode on YouTube. So I watched it. And yeah, the duck egg, I have tried that. I had it when I was a kid.
Yeah.
He's right. It's really not that bad. Not surprisingly, the yolk is, you know, the best part you could eat because it's the thing that's, you know, for the most part cooked. The liquid or broth or whatever you want to call it, that's pretty good too because, you know, it's got like some, you know, weird flavoring that it has with herbs and seasoning and stuff like that. So it's not that bad. The actual duck, yeah, that's horrible. Feathers, bones, you know, uncooked meat. It's disgusting. But everything else it's all right. I did see him do that frog, though. That frog looked pretty good. I've never had frog, or at least not like that, but it didn't look that bad, actually. The rest of the dishes I've had, so that was the first thing that I wanted to talk about. The second thing was, I live here in L.A., and that episode of Capri, I drive by that, or not drive by, but I've driven past that place hundreds of times, and I never even knew it was there. I mean, it's possible that I saw the sign and everything, it's possible that I knew it was a restaurant, but I don't think twice about it whenever I drive by on that street, on that same street, you know, Eagle Rock Boulevard. And so,
I saw it on
the last episode of Kitchen Nightmares, and it was pretty amazing, actually. Okay, so ever since that episode aired, my girlfriend has been pestering me to go there. And I will be completely honest with you, I don't ever want to go to that restaurant.
Yeah. And
basically for the same reason that Jason had about Fiesta Sunrise. Do you remember that episode?
No.
The thing is, after you see like the inner workings of some of these restaurants and how they're such a complete mess and their state is just in shambles, you know, whether it's the kitchen or the or out in the dining room area, anything. Once you see that, you just have doubts that even after Ramsay has shown up and helped them out, that either they're not going to keep up the standards or somehow those bad habits will just come back.
Yeah.
And yeah, I really don't want to eat there, even though it's right near my house. It's only like 10 minutes from my house. Although those twin guys, they were pretty funny. And I can't believe you guys spent like almost 30 minutes talking about that on the show. But anyway, all right, well, those are the
greatest
things that I wanted to talk about.
Ever.
There was one last thing. Jason, I think it was Jason. I can't believe you didn't like Fast Five. You know, I saw it, and honestly, I thought it was actually one of the better movies that I've seen this year. You know, the fourth one was terrible. I hated it.
It was.
And I figured, you know what, if they make another one, you know, they could only do better, honestly. But you know what? It's not like the last one was so bad that the fifth one was good in comparison. No, I thought the fifth one was good, period. You know, it had a nice, you know, Ocean's 11-style plot, and that, you got to admit, that last action sequence was pretty impressive, okay?
Oh, come on.
I mean, I've seen a lot of movies, and even I would say that last scene is probably, like, you know, because I can't think of the other ones. It's probably like top five.
With the vault?
In a movie
with, yeah,
me.
The vault through so, the street?
Anyways,
that was cool.
To talk about. Keep up the good work. I'll
yeah, amazingly, it didn't tear up the road. Bye. Wow.
No, Julian, you know what's funny is I was joking about that the last episode because I had seen it, and then, Bill, you went to see it. And yeah. I was kind of like, hey, if you want to see a movie that's kind of, what did I say? It's ridiculous, over the top, and just stupid. You know, it's entertaining or whatever. Go see it. And Bill, you're like, thanks a lot. I went and saw this piece of crap. Or whatever. So on the show, I was just like, hey, Bill loved it. I hated it. You know, just joking around. But, you know, if you want to compare it, like he said, not in comparison, but really Fast and Furious or whatever. The fourth one was frigging horrible. The fifth one was way better. So in comparison, yes, it's much better.
All I'm going to say is it was a big budget piece of shit that was it was just stupid. It was so stupid, and the direction was so pedestrian. There were scenes in this movie that were directly lifted from video games that I've played. That rooftop chase in Rio de Janeiro, it was right out of a Call of Duty game, and it was better in the Call of Duty
Bill,
game.
Bill, let's face it. This whole movie is derivative of Paul Greengrass, and like you said, even like the Ocean's 11, the team who needs to break into somewhere.
Yeah.
And it was entertaining, except we've seen it all before.
Yeah, and it was stupid.
And
it was like taking what we've seen before and giving it a stupid pill.
I honestly enjoyed it because I enjoyed it in the land of Fast and the Furious. I think the first movie is really stupid. The second one is stupid. I enjoyed it. In fact, the second one is probably my favorite one. That was John Singleton directed that one. I don't care about street racing or any of that kind of shit, okay? Vin Diesel, he looks fat in this movie, which I think is funny. When they first show him, it's like, whoa, he's put on some weight.
Yeah, Riddick's chunky.
And Jordana Brewster, I think, is incredibly cute. Looks like a friggin' skeleton in this movie.
I couldn't tell the difference between the women. There was a cop in it, and there was a girl that she rode a motorcycle.
Oh, yeah, I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
I couldn't tell the difference between them.
They just went
European.
They looked
the same.
European beauties. But one of the dumbest parts of the movie, Bill, is and I think it's cool that The Rock is in it, and he's chasing them, and he's a badass. But there's a part in this movie, and I'm sorry if I spoil this for everybody, but there's a part where he changes allegiance and decides to be Paul Walker and The Rock's buddy and help them.
Yeah.
And that is the dumbest shift in the movie, in movie history, okay? And he's like, hey, I'm on your side now. And they're like, all right. And
okay.
He goes, but he says, until we finish this, then I'm back hunting your asses.
I'm going to give you 24 hours.
Yeah.
And then I'm coming after you.
A donkey.
But I will say this.
And I'm sorry, but I saw the twist ending from a mile away. You can't set up something so early on in the movie with them actually getting the identical safe.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And then think that at the end they're just going to leave the money. That they're not going to switch safes somehow.
Right.
It's just,
like I said,
it was just one of those movies that was so insulting to my intelligence.
But Bill,
that I couldn't enjoy it.
They weren't trying to insult you. They were just trying to entertain you with shit you've seen before.
Okay, well, you know what? That's, I guess because I know the moment I saw it, I was like, wow, you know, this movie might have actually been good if it was directed by, like, John Frankenheimer
I think the guy who directed it, he was fine. He just was doing stuff we've seen before. If he did something
more original.
But it's such original,
derivative shit. I mean, it's...
Yeah, but no, I'm saying that...
Come at it with some
it's
originality.
It's not a bad movie. It's not a bad Fast and the Furious movie. It's not. It's the best Fast in the first movie. What does that say about the franchise? It sucks.
Okay. I just expect, I don't know, his first movie that he did, that Better Luck Tomorrow, was actually a really good film.
Well, what's the director? I don't even know his name.
Justin Lin.
Justin Lin, okay.
You know, but it just...
Well, Bill, Hollywood got a hold of him.
That's obvious, because he's just done nothing but
Remember what happened
Fast
to John
and Furious
Woo?
Shit since then.
When John Woo came here, they're like, "Hey, we got a movie called Hard Target.
Hard
we want you to
Hard Target.
Then we're going to do Broken Arrow.
Oh yeah.
How about Paycheck? Huh? It's like I don't love John Woo anymore. I hate him. Oh, and Julian, you told us
Paycheck for a huge paycheck. Huh?
Didn't Julian say that he ate the baby duck eggs, but he didn't tell us if it helped with that one area, you know?
Pekka.
But we won't ask
he
that.
He said he was young.
Now, guys, let's have another voicemail. Let's play another voicemail. This one from Fraid Not. Hey.
Hey, it's Steve Fraid Not Anderson. I know it's kind of goofy using screen names all the time, but whatever.
His own handle.
Gotta keep doing it.
In parentheses.
Been catching up on old NIMS lately. Great stuff, as always. That Max Cady laugh in episode 202, I think. Man, that thing
is
great.
Back a ways, buddy.
About as great as the classic
time
Tom
traveling.
Cruise laugh. Also had lots of fun at the first NIMH movie night, if that's what you're going to start calling it. I've really never used Netflix that often. Well, I don't know. There's less selection in Canada, unfortunately, but still some neat stuff there.
I was
in
surprised
fact, when
Canada
I was looking
even
around,
had Netflix,
saw
honestly.
Quite a few Uwe Boll movies.
Because they're getting used to.
And also a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie called Replicant.
Awesome.
Hell
well,
yes.
Obviously my mind went immediately to, is this a alternate title for Cyborg? Although apparently not. I don't know. I'm thinking maybe I'll check that one out someday.
That's
anyway,
with
keep
Michael
up the good
Rooker
work, guys, and looking forward to more movie nights if that ends up happening.
Hell yeah.
Bye.
No, hey, Fraid Not, if you're going to watch a Van Damme movie, you need to watch Lionheart. The baddest ass friggin' John JCVD movie there is, all right? Lionheart. I love Lionheart. And I've never seen Replicant, but I just laugh at it because, you know, whoever saw it is huge Blade Runner fan. Wouldn't you say? He's like, yeah, I'm going to say that. Hell yeah!
The hell was that?
It was Lionheart. Come on.
Oh.
You want to see shit like this, man?
Yeah.
No, I remember recently, as early as a year ago, Bill, did Canada have Netflix? They certainly didn't have the streaming on the Xbox.
They did not have streaming, no. And I don't believe they had Netflix either until...
So it's cool. That's so cool that he can watch Netflix. I mean, watch like MST and stuff with it. So we'll
yeah, I honestly didn't think they would be able to, but that's great. I'm glad that we're finally assimilating Canada.
And Fraid Not, I love that, you know, you created... One of our best of Nowhere Mulberries, and it's my favorite. I love it. So thank you for that. And you need to do another one because I obviously can't finish it. So, hey, we got another voicemail. This one from Rick. Let's check it out.
Hey, guys. I was just listening to the latest show, and he's going on about rape and stuff.
Uh-huh.
And it cracked me up. not because I'm into rape or anything, but mainly because the other day I came up with a good threat. And it was, okay. I will rape you into an effing coma. And you can use it with anybody. It's a bit funny if you say
I don't think you can, actually.
Because of the gay implications. But, yeah, it just reminded me. And it made me smile. I will rape you into a coma. Yeah, it's pretty good. Use it next time somebody pisses you off.
The family reunion.
Well,
I'll try that out.
So, and
the police are coming after
him. Yeah, that was on purpose, the missing out on number 5, because I was drunk and I thought, you know, they'd get it. Yep. So that was on purpose. Mm-hmm. Number 7 was just because I was lazy. So now you know. I'm just going to go back to some more painting, but I thought I'd stop and tell you that.
Oh, a bit of an artist, yeah. Huh?
Rape jokes are sometimes funny.
Anyone...
Yes, not whenever you're telling someone that you're going to rape them
into a coma.
Well, I was going to say, anybody who hasn't listened to the last episode, it's like, they were going on about rape? What?
Now, no, it's Harry Knowles is a rapist. I'm sorry. No, I take that back.
It was a Harry Knowles joke about
he's a
Hollow Man or whatever.
Yes.
So anyway, it was a joke. But, you know, I remember one time, I just remembered this, Stephen, that, you know, every once in a while you make a bad joke. It's just a stupid joke about, you get raped or something like that, right? Well, I'll never forget this guy, Gary. You know Gary in the frame shop we worked with, and there were girls around or whatever in the frame shop. And he was like, no, no, mm-mm. And I was like, what? And he goes, no, we don't joke about rape. And he says it like loud. I'm like, what? He goes, that's not funny. You know, that's a real thing. It happens to people and blah, blah, blah. And victims, you know, people that it ruins their lives. And I was like, what the hell are you talking? And he's like, making it like, and like people are looking like, what was Jason saying about rape now? You know, it's just like judgmental. It's like, shut the hell up.
You know,
kick
the
your
guys
ass off
at
your
Penny
soapbox.
Arcade went through a similar situation not long ago where they did a comic strip where, you know how in like World of Warcraft or whatever,
right,
you'll go on these missions and you'll finish the mission for something, and then let's say you go to someone and you have to collect something, and then it's just over, and that character goes back to whatever it's doing, and people can repeat the mission or continue to do it. And they made fun of that with one where you finish the mission, and then the person had to go back and be raped by dick wolves.
Okay.
And I know. Well, someone got a hold of that, and they just, I mean, there was a huge controversy over like the whole rape isn't funny thing. And the thing that made it so funny was it was dick wolves. People were it's a comedic reference, yet people are so sensitive over it that it's like kind of like a 50-50 thing where it's either funny or it's so not funny, it's ridiculous.
Right. Right, exactly. And it was just, it was the kind of thing where it was like, hey, don't lecture me on something like rape. I know it's bad.
Yeah.
I know it's a horrible thing.
That.
And I know it's like, you don't have to tell me that. I was making a joke about, no, you don't joke. It's like, I'm going to punch you in your head, okay? Shut the hell up. You know, like, you're better. You know, I'm better than you, and I'm telling you this.
Get
like,
over it.
Like, hey, anybody who listened who is offended by that, we know rape is bad. But it was a joke. And no one was offended. I'm just saying this now because I know people can get all bent out of shape. And quite frankly, I'm offended by Rick's voicemail.
Yes.
And the whole...
never rape anyone into a coma.
Because I don't know if Rick knows this, but comas aren't funny.
They are. In fact, people have been known to die from
murder, rape.
And I'm mad at that lady on the... what, the middle? No, what was that show called? Damn it. Remember the lady from the ABC comedy show that I can't remember? And she said that she got raped when she was on The View. She was like, and I got raped. And
no, but it sounds fantastic.
Sophia Vergara. Does anybody remember anything?
Yes, I remember that.
Do you guys remember that?
Really,
yes.
Speak English.
Yeah. But she
rape
was,
in Mexican means hugged.
Well, she was talking about... She was on The View, and she was talking about she had a son who was like... in his 20s. And she was like, I had him when I was 13. I was raped. And they were kind of like, what the hell? Was that a joke you just made?
I was raped.
That's hilarious.
Do you remember when we covered that on the show, Bill?
I do. I do now.
Okay. I'm editing all that out of the show. I can't think, you know? And what's the name of the show she's on ABC? That's what I want to know.
Rape.
The sitcom.
Rape.
What is it called?
Is it like Modern Family or
something? Yes,
yeah,
that's
Modern
it, Laura.
Family.
Thank you, Laura.
Modern
Rapist Family.
All right, guys, let's check out entertainment. And Bill, that is not funny. That is serious shit. That really happens to people.
I'm offended.
And families.
All right, that's entertainment! Ah, yes. Now, Bill, you didn't get to see X-Men yet, right?
No.
X-Men
I'll
First
probably
Class?
Go next week.
I'll probably go see it tomorrow.
it's not one of, you know, honestly, I'm not really excited for it.
I'm excited it's to see what they do with the X-Men franchise. I know some people are like, it's good, but we don't understand this mixture of odd ex-mutants, you know, that are in the movie. Like, why have Havoc, the brother of Cyclops, and not Cyclops?
Ah.
You know, just weird stuff like that.
Don't they have the one that ended up, like, in the books was actually Satan in it?
There's a character in there, but I have no idea who he is. I kind of
Azale
read,
or I never knew how to pronounce his name.
Azazel.
Azazel. Yeah.
Yeah, I have no. I don't remember that guy in the comics at all. So it must have been a long time ago.
It wasn't a long time ago. He was actually during a run in the 90s, and everyone hated him.
It must have been like Rob Liefeld's run on X-Force or something.
Yeah, I don't
smell
doubt
like
that.
A dung heap.
Right, but yeah. Super 8 comes out next week, Bill.
Now that I'm excited for. That I am
J.J.
all
Abrams,
over.
J.J. Abrams, yeah. We're going to check that out. I'm excited about that.
I actually already have tickets for it. I bought tickets to
it's kind of early.
I bought them like a week early. And Tree of Life, the Terrence Malick film.
Oh, yeah.
We'll see them both in the same day.
Hey, bring a book with you, Terrence Malick movie.
wonderful.
Yes. No, Terrence Malick, he's a poet. He's a visual poet.
Didn't even know it.
And I like moments of his movies. And, you know, I'm going to say that, you know, I can watch Fast Five and Terrence Malick movies, right? Mm-hmm. But his movies tend to go on a little long. That's all I'm saying.
I'm glad that I've read that it's under 2 hours.
Is it true that you actually see the Tree of Life growing throughout the whole movie?
Yes. It takes
actual
10 years.
Time.
Just a still shot of it growing slowly.
It's always in the background.
Now, what is Tree of Life about, anyway?
It's about a 1950s family, I believe something happens. I know the plot, but I'm afraid to spoil any of it.
Okay. That's fine.
You know, basically, it takes place in the 1950s with a family and then moves into the future at some point. And, you know, it's Terrence Malick, so it's going to be kind of impressionistic and crazy and...
And boring. Okay.
I'm kidding. There's two Terrence Malick movies that I really like that I can sit down and just watch, and that's Days of Heaven and The Thin Red Line. I don't know what it is. Maybe I'm a pretentious git, but I enjoy those movies.
I saw The Thin Red Line in the movie theater.
Yeah, I did too. Mm-hmm.
And you fell asleep, right? Oh, in The New World!
And
I
slit my wrist in the theater. No, Thin Red Line is a really good movie, and I love the... I love the moments of action in the movie. So when they weren't happening, I was like, come, dude, what
How about
the?
Some action?
Jim Caviezel staring at the friggin' leaves and shit. I understand it's a beautiful movie and he's an artist and stuff, but I don't get it, okay? I'm just not – I'm going to go see Fast Five again, all right, Bill?
Have you seen The New World?
I've seen bits of it.
That's good.
It changes stars of the movie in the middle of the movie, right? It's Christian Bale and Colin Farrell.
Well, it's two different characters.
No, I know that. But it's like if you go to the bathroom, you come back, and you're like, well, what happened to...
Yeah, it's Captain Smith and John Rolfe. Yeah.
They replaced the guy or whatever.
But it's a good movie.
Must have died.
Yeah, it is a very, very well-made movie. And a movie should not be easy to watch, I think. It should be hard to watch, and that's
why.
That's Terrence Malick. Right there.
That's what I'm saying. It should be a challenge. Terrence Malick makes a movie and says, "Come on, bring it on, mother effer. Watch my movie."
Yeah. So, I'll check out Tree of Life eventually. It's on Netflix or something. Bill, we'll watch
see
it together.
On the big screen because I mean the trailer makes me emotional when I watch it. There's just something about it that I've got a connection to.
I'll do that. I'll start with watching the trailer. I should do that.
Yeah.
Baby steps.
Wait, never seen the trailer for it?
For Tree of Life?
Yeah.
Would you watch a trailer to a movie called Tree of Life?
You're a son of a bitch.
If it had a cool name like Fast Five, yes! It's got cars in it.
Fast Tree
Wait,
of
this
Life.
This movie, was there yeah, any cars see? Yet? Invented yet?
I guess were they were invented yet?
Old-time cars.
Oh, my gosh.
So I'll check that out.
Or what else? Or human being.
I don't even know what's going on anymore. I did see... Hey, I saw Kung Fu Panda 2. That
How
movie,
is that?
That kicks some ass. Yo.
I want to see that.
No, I saw it in 3D too,
I
Bill.
Do.
And it was light.
Oh, it's so dimming.
Yeah. But you know what? Kids or whatever, the CGI animation or whatever, that looks good in 3D. No one ever says that. They just hate 3D. But yeah. Movies that are in the digital domain look All great right, in 3D. Why doesn't anyone say that? Because they don't want to give it any kind of credit at all?
No.
Because it was a lot of fun in 3D. It looked
they would
really
rather cool. watch Tree of Life.
Yeah, I'm sure.
It's kind of like, is 3D to movies as motion comics are to comic books? You know, it's like, yeah, I guess it's kind of neat and all, but you could just read the comic book.
When I think 3D and I think Avatar, that was a tool. And that was like being pushed into a world. You know, and sometimes it works really well. Sometimes it's a gimmick.
It works well in animated movies, I think.
Yeah. I thought, like, when I saw Cloudy with a Chance of Meatballs, I thought that was fantastic.
Right.
I mean, there's
I didn't see that in 3D,
really,
and I'm pissed 3D. I didn't. Yeah, but people are really loving to just say, hey, it looks like it's falling out of favor.
Yeah, there was a new article I saw put up where it was like, oh, there's something going on. No one went to see Pirates of the Caribbean in 3D. Well, no one went to see Pirates of the Caribbean
yeah.
because the movies are awful.
And another thing is all those stories are bullshit. People yeah. have articles they need to write, and they need to write it about something.
Yeah.
And this week they'll write about Fear Factor coming back to NBC. Ugh. So
really?
Yes.
Is it coming back to NBC or
yes.
a cable channel?
It sounds like NBC, and they're trying to get Joe Rogan back in there.
Oh, please. You know what they need to do, the first Fear Factor? make somebody pull a trigger and blow Joe Rogan's brains out. Now. Can you kill a person that's standing in front of you?
Help! Help! Help!
Drown Joe Gorelli? All right, guys, let's check out what's on our TiVo. What do you say, huh? Severin? Oh, he's gone.
He left.
All right, later, dude.
Studio audience left.
What's on our TiVos? All right, guys, while we were gone, Cake Boss came back.
Oh.
How many seasons are there of this show? But
Too many.
Now, Bill, what's crazy about Buddy is... He's building a new cake warehouse headquarters, right?
Yes. Lackawanna!
Lackawanna, and it's a huge endeavor, Bill. It's huge.
Huge.
And
massive.
Massive. And let's go ahead and see how many times Buddy tells us this throughout the course of the hour-long special
show. It's a huge risk.
It's a huge risk. Oh, and by the way, he makes a space shuttle cake. Let's check it out.
Coming up on Cake Boss.
Ladies and gentlemen, we have blastoff.
Opening up the cake factory at Lackawanna is going to change things at Carlos.
This is the factory.
It's so big.
Buddy Guy on the drums.
I have no idea how this thing is going to come together.
Drop that!
Wow.
Skipping foggy. You got to be kidding me.
Best music on television, guys.
The business here at Carlos has been very good. We barely have enough room anymore to bake and sell our cakes and pastries. So I got some big plans to expand Carlos Bakery to have all the room we need. I'm taking a big risk on a giant cake factory in an old warehouse building called Lackawanna. It's only a few minutes from the bakery, but it's 35,000 square feet,
Whoa.
Which is four times the size of Carlos. We're going to have four huge ovens, two decorating rooms, and we're going to have like 10 freezers. If this takes off, we're going to make thousands of cakes, cookies, and pastries every day for Carlos Bakery and to ship all over the country. My hope is that it's going to let us start taking on bigger clients and doing bigger and better cakes. You know, Mama's worried for me.
with all these changes. And I gotta be honest. I mean, I'm more
serious all of a sudden.
I never ran anything this big before. And I got my family's future in my hands.
From the jazzy bass line to the...
We could all go down.
To the Godfather.
I'm going big on this cake. We're going to make a 5-foot-high shuttle stack, including external fuel tanks, the 2 launch boosters, and, of course, the space shuttle. They said they wanted fire and smoke, so I'm going to give it to them. And then I'm going to take this cake to the next level and do something I've never done before.
We're going to blast it into space.
This cake's bigger and bigger and bigger. And we're getting kind of used
to
that.
I'm going
to
rape
now.
Oh, God.
Into a coma.
Into a coma, yeah. That cake will never wake up.
And on top of all this, I'm overseeing the build-out for our new cake factory at Lackawanna. And I can only spend so much time here because I'm needed at the bakery. So what am I going to do?
I'm going to split myself.
We're taking the next step in my new plan for Carlos. We're building out the new cake factory at Lackawanna.
All right!
Jesus! Undertaking. I mean, it's an enormous space.
It's an enormous undertaking, guys.
It's a big risk.
But inevitably,
huge.
It's the future of my family.
You better rape it.
But the problem is,
sorry,
Andy and Anthony, ain't here.
All right, man, where are these guys?
Anthony, come on, you gotta
you need
get
to
here.
Reap the benefits.
Yes,
I'm a little worried. I just want to make
he
sure
will sew what he brings.
Gets here in one piece. Anything could happen on a 1,000-mile ride, especially if you put Danny and Anthony behind the wheel.
Oh, yeah, there at the end when he opened up the box truck, Anthony's throat was slit in the back. He was dead. Yep. It's horrible.
Danny wrote all kinds of crazy shit and blood on the inside.
And he was gone. He, like, just flipped out. That would be an awesome cake boss, by the way.
Oh, and the ass of the cake fell off, too, but that was secondary.
Yeah, when they do the lift off on it, they have a forklift lift it. It's like, and he was like, here's the little boosters. And I thought it was going to be pretty impressive, but it was
lame. Yeah, I thought it was going to be cool or
like,
something.
Like sparklers on the bottom. It's like, wow, that really sucked. You're at NASA. Come on, do something better than that.
It lifts it up 6 feet and the 2 side boosters fall off and cake splatters.
Yeah, it sucked. Now, Celebrity Apprentice, who really cares who won? John Rich. But there was this little bit here, guys, where David Cassidy, who I think was drunk.
It's possible.
Trump asks him what he thinks of Richard Hatch being in jail. Because remember, Richard Hatch kind of was mean to him and pushed him around, manhandled him. He just put his hand on him, but he's like, oh, he's pushing me around or whatever. And then Gary Busey is insane. Let's check this out. Yay.
They were crazy. David.
Yes.
You had a huge fight with Richard Hatch, and now he's in jail, as you know. We all know. How do you feel about that? Do you feel badly for him, or couldn't you care less?
Oh, no, I could care. A lot. I think he actually is in the right place at the right time. I honestly think that, you know, when you take the low road, where else would you end up but on a cold slab somewhere? And quite frankly,
what the hell?
It was just. I thought it was. I thought it was vindication, and I told you. Well, I mean, I did say.
Is he drunk?
Everybody on our team said, "Who should we fire?" And they all said, "Richard." And I understood why you did what you did. And
cut
I think
him
you did
off.
The right
cut
thing.
His mind.
David, we love
shut
him.
Thank
up.
You.
Jesus.
I love being here.
He's either a genius or a moron, and I can't figure it out.
There's two things you never wanted to do: pet a burning dog. And fry bacon naked. I always give it all I got, whatever I'm doing. Even just brushing my teeth, taking a shower, cracking a hard-boiled egg.
Okay, Gary, let's settle this once and for all. Are you crazy or crazy like a fox?
Oh, that's a good question. I am...
batshit.
I'm very mysterious when I work. And I don't let others know
even
what I'm thinking
how
or how I'm moving. And I'm also trained in neuro-linguistic programming. Which means I can watch people's eyes when they're talking to me and tell if they're lying, telling the truth, or making up a story that has nothing to do with the subject we're talking on.
What?
Oh, project
manager. That be a lie?
I had a great idea where the 12-year-old son and the 10-year-old daughter make a steak for their grand, for their father.
All right, Gary.
I have to say
go ahead,
this.
Gary.
Omaha Steaks. I had an idea where the 12-year-old son enough. And the daughter.
Little John. Little John.
Hey!
You have become.
Stay here.
Quiet, Gary. Little John. You've really become a star. You were a star before, but you're a big star now, and people love you, Little John. You know that. And you know what? You are one smart guy. How do you feel about Gary? Because you had your problems with Gary. How do you feel?
Gary is great. It's, now that I had a break from Gary, because you have to understand, we were shooting the show every day, highly pressure situations, high pressure situations, a lot of stress, and sometimes you don't want Buseyisms. But I love Buseyisms. And now that I had a break, and Gary even came and hung out with me in Vegas.
Like, okay, he needs to shut up, too.
Big, big heart. Good guy.
How did you like being on the show?
It was great. I wouldn't do it again. Gary, I'd do it again. I'd do it again.
Hey, Gary. Yeah. You love that guy. Is that right?
Yeah, absolutely.
I can see it. I can
all
see
the live aspects of this show are so
Mr. Trump,
uncomfortable.
I had the idea of the Father's Day. I'm going to get this finished.
This is good. Let me
know what?
The daughter and the son made him Omaha Steak. They gave him a kite
they're gonna
for
need to,
his
like,
Father's
teaser
Day.
Him or something.
And now Omaha Steaks is selling the meat package with a kite shaped as a ribeye steak with all the Omaha Steak things. And here is the kite from Omaha Steaks. My idea they took advantage of.
The whole 2 hours was that painful.
Yeah.
Wow.
I kept having to change off of it.
The best part, though, was when John Rich said, hey, ladies and gentlemen, Def Leppard! And they weren't there yet. That was awesome. And man, did it seem lame when they were like, Rock of Ages, Rock of Steel Roll. And you see these old guys like banging their head or whatever. It's like, hey, man, just keep rocking, right?
Yeah, keep rocking out.
Yeah.
What else are they going to do?
Lame.
What else are they going to do?
Let's make a musical called Rock of Ages now.
Marley Matlin's team, they got the 7-Up guy, you know, the 7-Up, the Uncola. And that whole bit is just like, I think there's a reason the guy's retired.
Yeah, shit.
He's an old man. Okay, anyway.
I actually liked John Rich's commercial with Dee Snider. I thought that was,
yeah, that
you
was
know.
Funny.
Yeah.
Just the whole idea and stuff. All right,
and
guys.
Stuff.
None of us drink 7-Up, do we?
No.
And you know what, Bill? I was disappointed. No Kodak in this entire season.
Oh, what the hell? They must have burnt that bridge. And
Kodak was like, nah, we don't need you. Sorry.
Not anymore.
You heard our sales.
I'm surprised 7-Up even agreed to be on that piece of shit show.
All right. Before we take a break, I want to cover one more show. And, you know, I was thinking to myself in these couple of weeks where we weren't doing anything, I was like, you know, we don't really have any shows to cover. We do have the 2-hour finale of Smallville to cover later, Stephen.
Genius.
Incredible. Top Chef Masters, of course, Kitchen Nightmares. But I want to talk about a show that I had never watched before. And I'd certainly heard about it because I think it's like the 20th season of it. Or it's a spinoff of The Bachelor. It's called The Bachelorette. And I was like, I'm going to check out this stupidity. I want to see how, because I miss Seducing Cindy. That's what this is all about, Bill. I miss Seducing Cindy so much. And I'm hoping I'll get
some. Was Jeffrey James on The Bachelorette?
I wish. But they have some real, how would I, losers on this. Okay, I want to describe you one guy. Okay, the girl, she's kind of cute or whatever, but, you know, she's getting dates from all these guys, and they're all vying for her attention, and they want to do stuff. This guy's like, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to wear a mask and not let her see what I look like. That way she'll have to get to know my personality first.
Yes. not this gaudy mask he's wearing.
And so when he shows up, you know, all the other guys are like, who the hell is this guy? And there's one guy who ends up being the drunk guy also, who when he sees a guy, he's like, I don't like that guy. He's a creeper. Keep him away
he's
from me.
He's a creeper.
And the thing is she has to make her rounds and talk to each guy. This guy's drinking more and more champagne. By the time she gets him, she's like, hey, how's it going? He's like, you can just see he's kind of like, has that kind of hanging head. He's like, hey, what's... Hey,
where am I?
Hey, how you doing? And she's like, oh, no, this dude's loaded. And first, let's go ahead. I'm going to introduce you guys to Jeff, the masked man. And let's see how the other guys handle it when he shows up.
So mysterious.
Whoa. Look at this guy. Masquerade. What the
f***
is that?
What is that guy wearing?
The guy in the mask. If you're wearing a mask, you're obviously trying to hide something, I would assume.
Yeah, I got nothing to hide.
That's just a little creepy.
I got nothing to hide. Thing all night?
Making a point.
I don't like masks. No.
I don't like masks.
I don't do masks, yo.
He needs to go.
I hate Halloween, yo.
Oh, and I forgot to say one thing. There's another guy here named William who he fancies himself a comedian. He does impressions, and they are the worst impressions I've
worst
ever heard.
Worse than mine?
They're,
come on.
They're horrible. Just wait till you do it. And she's like, oh, that is so good. I'm like, what are you smoking? All right, let's check this out.
That's kind of creepy.
These guys are so fantastic. They're so intelligent, so funny, made me laugh. I feel like $1 million. I can't believe all these guys are interested in me. They want to date me.
I hate that guy.
Yes, it's all about you.
Maybe they like him at all. Too.
Hey, Batman!
And then you got the guy with the mask.
Batman!
Where's Robin?
Does he have a cape too or no?
I think I'll probably avoid that guy.
Throughout
the evening.
Where the f*** was a mask?
Have you guys ever seen the movie Eyes Wide Shut, though? Like, it's kind of like that sex party mask or something like that.
This is exactly what I knew would happen. You cover up half of your face and all of a sudden you're strange. We live in a society that everybody judges everybody from the outside. What counts is on the inside, and that's why I did it.
You got something in your face. I want to take care of it.
Yeah, I know. I got to leave it on. So where are you from?
I'm from the land that I don't wear... Is this for real?
Yeah, it's for
land
real.
Land that I don't wear on?
Yeah, why is that? Yeah.
That does bother me. Yeah, maybe move somewhere else.
Oh, okay, yeah, I'll move somewhere else then. Okay, bud. It's funny because I knew you'd probably judge, but, you know, whatever. It's cool.
Yo, I don't walk around looking Robin.
Uh-oh, let's stay away from that right there.
Can somebody take the mask off this kid so he can be real?
The guy in the mask is a weirdo. I don't like him.
Does the guy work at Carlos?
Find love. Who wants to
this
be
this guy who ends up getting drunk?
I don't. I think he's a creeper. Like, I'm not kidding. Like, that's creepy. Does it bother you? It
doesn't bother me. I just don't want you to know he's near me.
Tim and the masked man are definitely nemesis.
Tim from New York was giving him for it.
Oh, you put a pillow right in front of the masked guy's face.
It's pretty blunt.
Would you like to hear any kind of impression? I can do Sean Connery.
Oh,
is there anything that you'd like to hear? I mean, I've just...
No, it's not.
This is really happening.
I've had too much to smoke tonight. I'm so sorry.
You're pretty good. I'm going to give you that.
No, he's not.
You're such a good salesman.
That's what's all about.
Wow, is she annoying?
Yes.
Holy shit, what is she smoking? Okay, now, at this point in the show, I'm like...
You know, the way you talked about it, I thought it was funny. I think I'll just listen to you talk about it, because I can't watch that shit.
Yeah, you could watch it, Bill. Now, this
no
is the
way
best
in
part.
Hell.
You could. And you're going to.
No.
This next part, Bill, is awesome. This is
Are
when...
Are you going to forcefully make me watch something?
Yes. Now, this next part is when she wants to talk to the drunk guy... Who the mask guy has upset him so much he started to just pound drinks, okay? He's like, the guy scares me. He's a creeper. I'm just going to sit here and drink. Now, here's when she comes up to him, and she wants to talk to him, and it's hilarious.
These guys are all so impressive. I really
they
hope
are.
That my future husband is here tonight.
That's
I don't
such
see
a good
why
impression
that's not
is.
The case. I feel like the luckiest girl in the world. Hey, Tim.
Oh, wow.
How's it going?
You're scary.
Are you okay?
I'm right. You just scared me.
Oh, I scared you. Sorry.
I did.
How are you?
You're
How
a
are
scary
you?
I'm
bitch.
I'm very well. Very well.
So there you go. Oh, my God. I really am, like, sorry.
Huh? You're what? You're drunk.
Yeah, probably.
That's okay.
I'm sorry.
No, that's okay.
Just eat a sandwich
or something. Why don't you sit back and relax? What is that? What are you drinking?
Back,
water?
Oh, no.
He's the drunk guy.
And the drunk
Tim is talking with her.
Yeah.
Does this happen every season?
Tim is having a fruitful conversation with her right now. Tim is getting very deep with her right now, one-on-one.
So what do you do for work?
I sell
wine and spirits.
A drink.
Wine and spirits?
He sells wine and spirits.
I have a few cocktails.
Aww. I feel bad. Are you going to be okay?
I'm working like a llama.
Not good.
I'm going to puke.
Tim, sit back, relax, drink your water, okay? We'll see you later.
Doesn't he water?
How's it going,
bread, man? Like a loaf.
Feeling better?
How's it going? Honestly,
okay, here's the best part. Okay, he's drunk and everyone's like, hey, how's it going, buddy? And he's just kind of walking around. He's like, hey, what's up? And he's standing there and goes, you know, I'm just drinking a little too much. You know what I'm saying? And then the mask guy comes up and he kind of sidles next to him. He's like, turns and he looks at me. He's like, who's this guy right here? And I was like, oh, shit. There's going to be a fight. There's going to be a fight. And he, like, starts to take his jacket off, like, real drunkenly and slow. He's like, come here. You want to dance or something? And I was like, oh, dude, I hope there's a fight. But there wasn't. Let's see.
Genuinely afraid of masks.
If Ashley doesn't fall in love with him, there's something wrong with
her. Now, listen, the
Tim's
Jeff
getting a little crazy.
And I've never seen anybody like that drunk like that.
You know, yes, you have. Come
here
on.
For Ashley.
He's not that
I'm
drunk.
For this.
You tell him?
You tell me.
You in Berkeley?
Yeah, can you?
Yeah, yeah.
What's up, Jeff? What's up, guys?
Okay, here's the mask guy.
Hey. Hey, man.
How's it going?
What's up, dude?
This is a joke.
You don't like the mask, huh?
If you don't think it's weird, then God bless you. On my mother's life, I would never in a million years
rock a mask, huh? You wouldn't?
Man. I feel like I'm getting ready to, like, have some, like, really good fight. Come here. Do you want to dance? What are you doing? Like, all kidding aside, you're making yourself look like a
I get that's your opinion.
No, like, seriously.
Why? Why? I don't know why the guy's wearing the mask, but why is the guy still upset over it? Okay.
That's like some serious drunken wisdom going on there.
This is the final part, but it's the best part because the guy falls asleep and he's snoring and he can't be woken up. And
so he's in a rape coma.
And what's so funny is later on when she decides, okay, we're going to get rid of this guy, right? So,
That's probably for the best.
For some reason, the mask guy, the Jeff guy, he's on the balcony, like, looking at everything, like, lurking, like the Phantom of the Opera. And they play organ music as he's watching.
Oh, no.
But there's this...
He's observing.
There's this other guy named Bentley who...
Bentley!
Yeah, apparently the Bachelorette, she received a text from one of the... an old contestant from Bachelorette. I don't know. And she's like... This guy, Bentley, watch out for him. He's on the show for other reasons. I'm like, whatever that means. So he's like telling him, he's like, I'm not attracted to her. Sure, she's got a nice butt and everything, but I'm not that interested. But I'll make out with her or whatever.
Totally.
So I love that this guy is such a douchebag. It's hilarious. So we'll see. Here's some of that. But let's go ahead and see the part. And the only thing that sucks is the guy's name is Tim, who passed out. If his name would have been Steven, this would have been like the greatest clip ever. I'm serious. Okay, let's check this out.
Wow.
Sounds like Steven.
That is serious snoring.
Now she's walking to the other, he's like on the other side of the pool, like asleep by himself. He's walking over there.
Tim?
Yeah, Tim? That's going to wake him up.
Tim? Tim? Hey, Tim.
He is song long.
Hey, Tim. Tim? Wake up, Tim.
He is out. Oh, here's the mascot. He just needs a cage.
Sent home, and it just proved a point. He was clearly here to party, and I'm not here to party my ass off.
Clearly.
You know, I'm here for the right reasons, and I think Ashley would definitely understand that.
Everyone else wants time with it right now, so we're all just like, when's my time, you know?
Okay, here's the William guy again, okay? The guy who does impressions. He already got a rose from her from going on a date because he went to the Bellagio and the fountains or whatever. So they're like, hey, when am I getting time? This is when he decides to whip out his George Bush impression to all the guys.
Oh, it's a perfect moment.
And they all just stare at him like they want to beat the shit out of him. It's awesome. Let's check it out.
You just got to go for it. You just got to get out there and take it. I already won a rose, but I'm going to win the next rose, too. Have fun with your drinks.
William's kind of getting on my nerves tonight. You know, you come back with a rose from your day doesn't mean you have to be a jackass. I feel like he's covertly kind of talking trash, and that irritates me. I'm not a fan of people who come off brazen like that.
I'll be honest with you guys. No, I shouldn't say it. You know the fountains at the Bellagio?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We had dinner out in the middle of the water. It was already out there, set up. We got in a rowboat and rowed out to the water. Nobody's ever done that before. I mean, she gave me the rose, and then the fountain just went off.
Then is that when you kissed her right after that?
Yeah.
I mean, that just sounds terrible. Like, I would literally rather be, like, swimming in pee than trying to plan a wedding with her. Because I'm not thinking, like, oh my gosh, this is, like, the girl of my dreams. I've been saying, like, she's just not my type. But it comes down to the fact that I get competitive about anything and everything.
Are you kind of tired of talking?
Mm-hmm.
About, let's not talk.
Ooh, what does that mean?
I don't know.
Yeah. Oh, smooth operator.
That was
It
started out good, but it sucked towards the end. But it's more of like an expected feeling. You know, I'd be lying to everyone if I'm like, yeah, I'm in this, like, to the end, you know, like, I'm going to ride this out for 2 months. There's no way I'm going to last that long.
I have a pretty good radar in terms of somebody that's not being sincere, and I'm seeing such sincerity in him that my gut tells me to trust him. He could be the one for me.
Oh, no, he is, honey. He is. You're going to marry this guy. There's scenes to next week, or I don't even know if it's later in the season, where he's like, you know, like, she's got a hot butt and nice legs or whatever. Maybe she'll tickle my beep, but I don't want to have a relationship with her or anything. I'm like, this guy is awesome. Great. Tickle your what? Just let him, I want to know what he's talking about. Is it balls or what?
His big toe.
But guys, I'm sorry about that. The Bachelorette, I just had to do it. I just, like I said, I miss seducing Cindy. No one had diarrhea in this episode, unfortunately.
God damn, dude.
You know the mask guy, Bill?
Yes.
There's one point where whenever someone comes along and they're like, could I take you away for a moment? And she's like, I'm sorry, I got to go with this guy, right? She's sitting there talking to the mask guy, and he goes, well, you know, I think it's time I revealed myself to you. She goes, oh, great. So he starts to take the mask off, and this guy goes, excuse me, hope I'm not interrupting. And he's like, can I talk to you? And he's like, you got to be friggin' kidding me. And he puts a mask back down, doesn't get to take it off because someone else comes along.
That son of a bitch.
And they show scenes where he's swimming in the pool with the mask on, and they even show him he's sitting on the toilet. And he looks over, and the camera sees him in the door, and he, like, slams the door real quick. I'm like, he's wearing a mask while taking a dump.
Why did he not shut the door to begin?
Why would you be in a house where there's cameras everywhere and
not shut the door?
Not shut the door.
He's not looking for attention at all.
Because the whole thing is scripted. You can even go. This is funny. I heard about this Reality Steve site or something like that. He actually tells you all the spoilers to the show down to who she picks at the end.
Holy shit, that's awesome.
Wow.
I don't know how he does it, but
yeah, he's connected to Miss Cleo.
All right, guys, let's take a break. We'll be right back. All right, everybody. All right.
All right.
All right.
I had a few cocktails.
Hot dogs, 25 cents.
Only 25 cents for a hot dog? How good could it be?
I'm making it easy for people to try Purdue Chicken Franks.
Chicken Franks? Free would be a lot easier.
Purdue Chicken Franks cost less and have 25% less fat than regular hot dogs.
All right, all right.
So?
Chase's Goose a real hot dog.
This kid has good taste and good looks.
Try Franks Franks. They're good in every way.
I thought it would taste good, but not this good.
Now there's both Diet Coke and new caffeine-free Diet Coke.
Bet you didn't know all the good things that go into Shake and Bake.
For goodness sake!
A dozen herbs and spices make it taste so nice. Shake and Bake.
For goodness sake! Shake and Bake coating mix blends wheat and barley flour and a dozen herbs and spices to help you make a delicious chicken dinner.
Bet you didn't know all the good things that go.
For goodness sake!
Into Shake.
Nobody else has it.
But what is it, Mr. Foster?
Aquafresh's triple protection formula. They took the label off to show you. The maximum fluoride protection of the leading paste. All the breath freshener of the leading gel. And gentle cleaners that even remove stained film. Concentrated in one complete toothpaste. Aquafresh has it all.
That's why we all use Aquafresh.
Triple protection Aquafresh. A complete toothpaste.
I'm going to Kingsford tonight. I'm really going to do it right. Don't have to fight it. I'm just going to light it. I'm really going to do it right. I'm going to Kingsford. Kingsford tonight.
You going to trust that steak to any ordinary charcoal? Get the best. Kingsford fires up fast, easy every time. Get out in Kingsford.
Do it right.
I can't wait for that first bite.
Kingsford tonight.
Sun-kissed scene. Good vibrations with no caffeine.
I'm drinking up good vibrations. Sun-kissed orange soda taste sensation.
Sun-kissed orange, diet sun-kissed. All natural flavors, absolutely no caffeine.
I'm giving out orange vibrations. Bubbly sun-kissed sensation. Sun-kissed is giving out good vibrations.
Let us take you to a new garden spot where ripe, juicy fruits and fresh vegetables flourish. Introducing Wendy's Bigger, Better Salad Bar, Wendy's new garden spot. Now we've added 7 new ingredients to our bountiful all-you-can-eat salad bar, including a new dressing. There's never been a salad bar quite like it.
It's the garden spot of America.
Come, try Wendy's new garden spot for Wendy's kind of people.
How long has it been since your mom's fixed jello pudding for you?
A long time ago.
How long?
A long, long time.
But she knows it's good for you, right?
Uh-huh.
And she knows that you love it, right?
Uh-huh.
Well, maybe she forgot. Maybe I should remind her. Mom, you know how the kids love jello pudding. And you know it's made with fresh milk, so it's wholesome. And you haven't made jello pudding for them since...
Last night.
Last what?
Kids love jello brand pudding. Remember...
Time to make the donuts. The donuts.
It isn't easy owning a Dunkin' Donuts.
Time to make the donuts.
Because unlike most supermarkets, we make up to 52 varieties fresh day and night. Of course, when you make donuts this good, there's a reward. People buy a lot of them.
Good morning, folks.
Look for Dunkin' Donuts money-saving coupon in your local newspaper.
Kids are kids.
Teach me to catch.
Kids are kids, it's true.
Be serious. Ask him again.
Kids will do things only kids will do.
Just takes one arm.
Yeah, girl. And moms are moms. They know what's good for kids. Always doing what they should for kids. Moms are moms. They know what's fun for kids.
Try again. Okay.
Mom's no Kool-Aid is the one for kids.
It's no surprise.
guys what they want. Kool-Aid unsweetened with just the right amount of my sugar.
We love it.
Kool-Aid has vitamin C at about a fourth the price of soda.
Eat this.
Moms know Kool-Aid is the one for kids.
Kool-Aid brand soft drink mix.
Starburst, fruit juice, a burst of refreshing fruit flavor for you. Tastes like mouth-watering orange, strawberry too, luscious lemon and tangy cherry. You get refreshed the moment that you bite into a Starburst fruit juice. A burst of refreshing fruit flavor for you.
Naturally and artificially flavored.
Open a package of Casino cheese and you can almost see the milk. Because what you see is made from milk and no preservatives. Slice into Casino cheese. You can almost feel the milk. Because what you feel is smooth. Then bite into Casino natural cheese and you can almost taste the milk. Because what you taste is mild. Casino natural cheese from Kraft. Made to be mild.
I went to the beach one sunny day. I saw a long-legged girl heading my way. She was flipping a frisbee and looking okay. In one hot flash, she did a little spin. She whipped me that frisbee. I whipped it back again, because you just can't do it alone.
Frisbee, you just can't do it. You just can't do it alone.
Toss it to me.
Frisbee,
okay, honey. Just give it to me again.
You just can't do it alone.
Toss it to me.
Frisbee, you just can't do it. You just can't do it alone.
It began with the story of a boy, a girl, and a universe. It became an epic battle between the forces of good and evil. Now, return to a galaxy far, far away. The saga lives on. Return of the Jedi, rated PG. Now playing at a theater in your galaxy.
Here's Bruce Jenner for Tropicana Pure Premium.
Smells like fresh oranges.
Smells like Tropicana.
Sure, fresh Florida oranges are all we use in Tropicana Pure Premium.
Isn't all orange juice alike?
Nope, only one can be the best. For me, it's fresh-tasting Tropicana Pure Premium. It's pure, pasteurized Florida orange juice, not reconstituted with water like other leading brands.
Mmm, tastes good. Tastes like fresh oranges.
Only one can be the best. For me, it's fresh-tasting Tropicana Pure Premium.
Oh dear, that's a wake up call. Wait, somebody wake that guy up. Hey, Bill, you back? Tim? Is that Tim or Steven?
It's hard to distinguish the two, isn't it?
Oh, dear. Bill, are you there?
No, I'm not here.
Hey, Bill, what's up?
Leave me alone. Go away.
Oh, no. What's wrong, Bill?
I'm tired. I'm trying to get some sleep, and you guys yakking away. A bunch of chatterheads.
All right, guys, before we talk about the season finale of Smallville, let's quickly talk about Kitchen Nightmares. Because apparently whenever Gordon goes to a restaurant where brothers run it, it's gold. This nasty-ass Nolan's restaurant he goes to.
It's gross. Nasty-ass doesn't even describe how gross it is.
It looks all yucky and grimy, and there's mouse traps everywhere. There's a part where Gordon brings in guys to get rid of the mice, and the mousetrap is there, and the guy, like, oh, it's already open. He's moving it, and a mouse jumps out and runs. And the guy's like, whoa!
I'm scream, mofo! Like, woo! Well, I can't believe Gordon picked one out and held it up by the tail.
And it was dead or alive?
Dead.
On the
It was dried up. It was mummified.
On the previews, when he was holding it up, I was like, is that in the food? Because if it is, I'm going to puke. And this guy...
I'm almost having not to eat during watching this show, too.
There's, yeah, totally. I've learned my lesson.
It's like this and Fringe, you don't eat during...
Now, when, one of the brothers knows they suck, and they need help. And the other brother, he's like, our food is delicious. It's magnifique.
I don't even know what the hell nationality these guys are.
Neither do I.
Greasy.
They're Samoan or something. I don't know. I don't know where the hell they're from. But their shifty-eyed chef, the guy like has all like...
It's all twitchy, yeah. He's like,
dude's got serious Tourette's going on. Or he's a tweaker.
Just the way I am, if I was talking to that guy, I would start doing it involuntarily. He's like, you making fun of me, man? No, the guy...
Either that or I would go, stop it!
The guy has an awesome voice. At one point, he goes, I'm a magician with food. And it's like, ah!
Well, he was all sweaty, too.
Yeah, he's like, this is our chef, Twitchy.
Twitchy big sweaty.
Twitchy big sweaty.
He had pixies. It's like... But
I don't know where you pixies came from, but I sure like your pixie juice.
So let's go ahead and check this out when Gordon shows up, and this place is a nightmare. A kitchen nightmare.
I think Chef Ramsay's going to love me. I think Chef Ramsay's going to know that I'm the real deal, and we're going to make things happen together.
What the hell are you talking about?
Young, hip, cool, New Orleans vibe.
Nowlands.
Yeah, they say it locally. Exactly. Nowlands.
I mean, this is the South. New Orleans. And nobody say New Orleans. If you go outside say New Orleans, people going to laugh at you. So we had to educate him. It's Nowlands. Nowlands.
So, how long have you been here?
We have 17 months.
17 months.
No idea.
Okay, who's that?
That is our old chef.
Oh, bless him.
The menu has pictures of people who've been fired.
Damn, who's that?
That is our old server.
He's gone as well?
Yes, he's fired.
Oh, jeez.
If they don't like you, they get rid of you.
And is it the same with the waiting staff as well?
It's the same with anybody that works it.
I'm the executive chef. I can do magic with food. And if Chef
he has to think
doesn't
about what he has to do magic with.
Crazy. Classic New Orleans gumbo. Wow.
He can twitch all over your food.
Oh, my God. That is disgusting.
It's the drip sweat in it.
Very disappointing.
It's like, why is there so much spice in here? It's like I'm twitching as I'm putting it on.
The gumbo's old.
Tell me, let me see what's wrong with the gumbo.
I don't see it. Tastes standard to me.
Now tell me you don't taste it, Chef.
I think it's fantastic.
Let me tell you one thing, baby. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with it. Just trust me, Chef. Just trust me on that one. I don't think Chef Ramsay knows anything about Cajun food, as a matter of fact.
Crab cakes.
Enjoy.
Enjoy. Right now, I'm trying to live. Soggy. Everything watery. Almost like it's been sort of defrosted. Fast. Yeah, not good. Not good at all.
The crab cakes taste frozen.
What?
And he don't think they're made in-house.
What?
And he got the duck, so I hope he likes the duck.
Ooh, if he complains of the duck, we're going to fight. he better not complain of the baby.
Black and duck. Yeah. Thank you. What the f***? What have they done to them? It's just a mess. Oh, my God. Duck is tough. Really tough.
Oh, yeah, it's tough.
Oh, my God.
It tasted like the bottom of a shoe.
The duck is tough?
Look how tough the duck is.
You say it's tough?
It is tough, man. Look, tough. I put it on 500 pounds, and look.
It is not tough.
The meat is tough.
I'm hungry.
That's right. Our duck's hardcore.
That's my favorite dish on the menu. And that duck is not going nowhere. It's going to stay quacking on my menu. This duck's so good, man. Oh my gosh. Mwah. You know what? I'd like him to come back here and cook a duck and show me how his duck going to look like. We're going to call it the Gordon duck. That's going to be a British duck right there.
What the hell's going on there? What's going on there?
The food's coming back to the kitchen, and they think it's a joke.
They think it's hilarious, Chef. This guy is... I don't know what the hell's wrong with him. But there's one point
He's a sociopath.
There's one point where Gordon tells him to close the restaurant, and everything needs to be clean. The place is filthy. And the guy goes nuts, but there's a great part where Gordon calls him... He goes, you're a busy idiot. He's like, what do you call... You don't insult me here in Nolens or whatever. And his brother's like...
I'm going to call my cousin Nico.
His brother is like, no. It's a compliment. he's giving you a compliment. You're a busy idiot. He's like, I know it's not really a compliment, but I was trying to calm my brother down.
Boy, he's so impressed by your quick skills.
When Gordon questions the chef, just this little part here, he's like, don't know. Just the way he says it's hilarious.
Chef Ramsay is clueless. You know what? I really don't think that British can cook, period.
Damon, when was the duck cooked?
Wow. Well, I can't give you an answer.
Oh, come on. I mean, what the
don't
is
know.
This? You don't know when the duck was cooked?
Do the roar.
No.
I'm ready to go.
What are y'all doing sitting down doing nothing? What are y'all doing? What are y'all doing? I need this place scrubbed down top to bottom. I want the TV's wiped. I want the piano wiped. I want this place clean.
The TV's?
I want my butt wiped.
What does the TV's have to do with anything?
Tonight, nobody needs to get that clean this mess.
Mo and Rami have some important news to share with Chef Ramsay.
Mo and Rami.
I fired Chef Damon officially yesterday.
Yeah, any chef in his own mind would have gracefully handed the towel in.
Fired Twitchy.
And resigned. Right, moving forward. I'll do some work in the kitchen. Do you have any recipes on pen and paper?
Right here.
What?
Right here.
He's pointing
to his
head.
So why aren't they on paper? Why haven't we got a database?
I like to keep my recipes secrets. If I put them on a piece of paper, I don't want
somebody
to steal them.
Are you so full of shit?
Oh. So you're worried that somebody gets the recipe and copies it?
Anybody that shares my recipe, I'm going to kill them. It's my recipe.
Rami, help me out here, will you? Is this for real?
That's what we deal with every day, Chef.
You think it's funny, but believe what I tell you.
I don't think it's funny. I'm just a little bit deluded.
Well, you know what? The recipes are in my head.
Are you stupid?
I am not stupid.
Mo, you are stupid. The kitchen absolutely doesn't know what to cook because the recipe is in Mo's head. It's crazy.
Oh, shut up,
Rami.
Don't
call me stupid in my restaurant. Rami. Do you understand that you need to learn how to talk to people? This is New Orleans. You understand?
Wow.
This is New Orleans. Don't come down here talking to us like that.
Calm down.
I have never been chewed up like you chewed me up. Never. We got nothing but swamps around here. Anybody talks like that, get chopped up and fed to the alligators.
I'm not here to blow smoke up your ass. Let me tell you that.
I really think
I'm here to fix this restaurant. But you are one obstacle, aren't you?
No. I'm an easygoing guy. I listen. I work hard.
But you're a busy idiot.
I don't think he gets it that he needs to watch his language.
But you're not getting that he's here to help us.
I'm not calling him an idiot. He's calling me an idiot.
A busy idiot.
A busy idiot.
You're working hard in the wrong places.
What about, well, I mean, I feel like flipping the table right now.
Did you hear what he just said? He just explained it. He just told you you're working hard in the wrong places.
Busy idiot? Is he kidding me? I will stand up, beat the out of
him. He's not understanding that this guy can make a difference in our life. He's British. A busy idiot over there means something totally different over here. A busy idiot is a good thing. That means you're working hard in the wrong places.
Busy idiot is a compliment?
It's a compliment. He's from British. He doesn't speak English.
Speak
I know
English.
Busy idiot is not a compliment, but I had to call more.
He needs to understand that busy idiot in America is an insult.
Okay, busy idiot is a good thing. I had to tell him it's a compliment, so we can move on, because other than that, he's going to keep on going at it with Chef Ramsay, and we're not going to go nowhere.
I'm like, you know what? I should have brought a British dictionary. It took me a long time to learn my language.
Good
I like
God.
To take him. That's the last thing I
Man,
want to learn
dumb.
British.
It's very...
Well, I wouldn't hold anything against Gordon. He's like, I'm out of here. I'm just going to leave. I don't
yeah,
care.
Yeah, honestly, when you're dealing with someone of that level of intelligence, you just got to leave.
The guy is so dumb. And there's a part where
he's threatening death.
There's a part where Gordon, he said, yeah, he's like, will you get fed to the alligators? But there's a part where Gordon says, I need to have an agreement with both of you that I'm going to be in charge. And I'm going to make changes, and you have to just go with those changes. And, of course, Rami, he's like, okay. And the brother's like, God, oh, no. And I don't know. Just here's the last clip, just real quick. And just see how he takes the idea. I don't know what's wrong with this guy, but just you'll see how this ends.
Okay, listen to me. This place is broken, and it needs a massive overhaul rapidly. I'm prepared to come up with solutions, work my off, However, I will not go forward unless you are prepared to accept my changes.
I'm prepared.
So basically, you're going to change whatever the you want to change, and I don't have the right to say a word to it.
Correct.
You know what? Yes, I agree. I feel like I'm ready to cooperate right now.
Good. I'm pleased to hear it.
I'm gonna...
shut my mouth.
Because obviously my way is not working. So I'm gonna let Chef Ramsay handle it, and I'm gonna just be 100% cooperative.
Good night.
Good night, Chef.
I'm not gonna hug you yet.
I don't want to hug from you.
We'll talk about that later.
I don't want
to
hug.
I'm about to kiss this restaurant goodbye because I may come back tomorrow and not see it where it's at right now.
Oh my God. Ah.
Listen, man, it just hit me real hard. Did we just agree with him to change whatever he's going to change?
Yes, we're good. Go home. We'll get you some rest.
Are you throwing up?
Oh my God.
He like... sticks
drama
his head,
queen.
He sticks his head over the bar and throws up behind the bar. I was like, what the hell?
There's something wrong with him.
That guy's got serious issues. I mean, it's like, you can't even make fun of it. He's so screwed up.
Well, when they have the main, you know, when they always do one final dinner service and everything's going well, he leaves. And Gordon's like, where are you going? He goes like, I got to take a break. And he comes back, and I swear he's been drinking. And he's like, Gordon's like, where you been? He goes, come and have a drink with me, Gordon. He's like, what the hell? He's like, well, he just gets away from him. But guy is friggin' weirdo. So that was the finale of Kitchen Nightmares. Gold. And next week we'll have Master Chef to talk about. Because, Bill, I don't know if you've seen the commercial, but there's a guy who serves sushi on a naked lady.
Oh, my gosh.
It's like every commercial.
That's genius.
Every commercial they show that. Why would the guy audition for the show like that?
Yeah, like he's cooking anything.
Yeah, it's raw fish. I could do that. Just Gordon's fish sticks, frozen. Throw them on a naked body or something.
Hugh Hefner's lunch.
Yeah, it's like, God. All right, Gordon. Okay.
Now, the end of Kitchen Nightmares got cut off for me. Did this place get shut down?
No, I don't believe so. I think they're still running.
That's
probably
too bad.
Still lots
that's
of mice
too bad.
In there. All right, so let's talk about the final Smallville ever. Now, first of all, I want to tell you guys, Bill, I know you watched it a while ago. Steven, you
yes.
watched it a while ago. Did you watch it after it aired?
Yes. I watched it last Saturday.
Did you have your Smallville marathon? Did you watch all the episodes? Did you skip them all and just watch the final one?
I just watched the final one.
Good.
But you missed so much buildup.
Now, I watched it yesterday, finally. And I got to say this, that, you know, I wondered how it would be, because through the history of Smallville, now I know I didn't watch like the first, second, or whatever. I don't even know when I started watching. If you go listen to old Mulberries, I'm going to wait for Adam and Ross to tell me when I started watching.
You started watching it when it got bad.
Right. So I know there's been some good episodes, some stupid episodes of Smallville, but I wasn't prepared for the complete disaster that was the final episode of Smallville. The nearest I can compare the final Smallville is to Highlander 2,
oh,
The Quickening.
No, that's bad.
That's how bad it is, Bill. Because wow. There are some effects in this thing. They're so bad. There are...
They should have just left the wires.
There is shit in this thing that makes no friggin' sense. And I know it's Smallville, but this, okay. Why is Jonathan Kent in every other scene in the background? Either he's a ghost, he's looking. Because there's parts where they just show him there. No one acknowledges him. And he looks over and he's staring at his wife. It's like, is this the ghost of Jonathan here? Okay.
No, it's Clark's delusion.
Yeah, but Clark isn't even paying attention in some of the scenes that he's in.
Well, you know, it's kind of like the ghost in Three Men and a Baby.
Oh, you know, yeah.
Just kind of standing there in the background.
So,
Men and a Baby?
Okay, so I don't know why.
Wait, you've never seen that?
No.
It's not a ghost. Real ghost. It's a cardboard cutout.
No, it's a ghost.
It's not a ghost. But anyway, okay, Bill.
It's a ghost.
We know that Lionel came from another dimension, right? Laura,
yes.
Don't encourage that.
I'm sorry.
We know that Lionel came from another dimension. Well, now he's here, and he wants to bring Lex back, no matter what.
Yeah.
Has he ever mentioned this in previous episodes?
No. Why would he?
He's got pieces of Lex clones, right?
Mm-hmm.
And
yes.
He needs Tessa's heart. Okay, also, a planet is coming towards Earth, which is fifth element.
Fifth element. I don't get what you're having such a hard time with. It's very simple.
Fifth element thing, ball of evil, is coming towards Earth, and they need
to
get...
It's apocalypse.
He needs Lilu and the elements.
Lilu
and
Lane.
Multi-pass.
Okay. Lilu Lane.
Okay, now let me guys ask you this. Okay, Clark isn't ready to be Superman till he figures out how to let go of his dad while holding on to his dad, while not being sad, but still not forgetting him, and not being a... Did you get any of this? Because how does that tie into also Martha showing up, and Clark's like, yeah, I sold the farm, you know, I'm moving on, I'm getting married, who cares about any of this shit? She's like, I can't believe this, how could you get rid of the farm and all this? What about your father? He's like, my dad's dead, you know, I'm moving on. No, you need to always remember him and keep him in your heart. So he's like, oh, wait, okay.
And it all makes sense now.
And Lois is like, we shouldn't get married because you're Superman. And she didn't call him Superman. But, you know, you're busy all the time and people always need help. Because, no, I still have time to get married and do stuff or whatever. So
totally.
Then after he's talking to his mom, he's like, no, maybe I shouldn't get married. So then they have the long scene between the door that's supposed to be so romantic, I guess, where they, I don't know, but.
it was a tad ponderous.
Holy shit.
it was a whole big mess.
I was waiting for it just to be, you know,
I
just be an average Smallville episode, but this was horrible. It was terrible.
I fell asleep, had to back it up, and had to rewatch parts. So I was just like, why am I rewatching?
Steven, you fall asleep during everything. That's no excuse.
The episode begins in the future with Chloe reading to her son.
Right.
And you're like, gee, I wonder who the father of this son is. Oh, there's a bow and arrow in his room. A little kid's room?
Why is John Jones.
There's a dangerous weapon in the room. And you're reading him a comic book called Smallville. Yeah, just tell the entire planet who Superman is. That made no sense at all. Okay, and here's another thing. Let's just build.
They weren't telling the entire planet. They were telling us.
Anyone who collects that comic called Smallville, which is a horrible name from a comic, by the way.
That's why no one will know who he is. No one will buy it.
You know the lady who the teacher, the headmaster, whatever, had powers or whatever?
Yes.
After a Green Arrow ruins the wedding and he gets the Sigma Phi Delta thing off of his head or whatever,
yeah.
he goes with his bow and arrow up to all three of them. And he's like, hey, you know, this is the end of this shit. I'm Green Arrow again. And they're like, rah, and they're going to use their powers on him. But he fires, fires his arrows real quick and kills them immediately when they had, like, telekinesis and stuff. Okay.
Yes, they turn into birds.
Who cares about any of that, right?
No.
So anyway, here's a scene when Lionel, he wants to cut out Tessa's heart.
Of course.
And put it into Lex. So,
because Lex needs a heart. Of all the things that they cloned, the heart would not clone.
Right. And so Tess escapes, though, and she shoots Lionel, which was pretty badass. Although she should have shot him 15 times. She shoots him once and leaves.
More than once.
Right then, Darkseid shows up, and he's like, oh, I'll trade your soul to bring Michael Rosenbaum back to the show for 1 hour. And he's like, oh, okay.
You mean for 5 minutes.
And he rips his heart out and he puts it in Lex. And Lex is like, hey, I remember everything from when I left the show recently. But when Clark is back in his barn, because, you know, he goes there to ponder things, Bill.
He loves he's ponderous in that barn.
What's
he going to do that he sells a barn, you know?
Okay, how
is he going to ponder?
How hilarious was it when zombie Lionel shows up possessed by Darkseid? He looked like Solomon Grundy in the comic books, you know?
Yeah.
Okay, let's just listen to this voice. And by the way, in this scene, I don't think they filmed it. I think they had audio of Tom Welling rehearsing, because there's no emotion in his voice. He's reading it from a piece of paper. Just listen to this, guys.
The lost son of Jor-El.
Yeah?
Darkseid. My father sent me here to protect this planet.
Speak up, Tom.
And I will fight you to my last breath.
There must be a part of you that's disgusted by how easily your people fell to me.
It may not be perfect, but I believe even in the darkest soul,
what
there's
the hell?
I told you, want to believe it's monotone. Violence, if it was necessary.
This is the series finale.
It's stronger to love.
He went to the Green Arrow School of Acting.
Eons have passed since I came face to face with a force that could possibly tip the balance to the light.
Okay.
You are the light. You cast out the darkness from out of the queen. And you obliterate my darkness from the rest of the world if you are not stopped. You will surrender to me.
Blah, 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 blah.
I will annihilate you.
You're gonna have to let Jor-El guide you from here on out.
What? What the hell? As he's in midair and bullet time, Jonathan Kent is there again? And he's like, Clark, let's freeze frame the show for a second.
Forget everything I taught you.
We're gonna have a montage of, and Bill, I timed it. This montage was like 3 minutes long.
Yeah. And it was the third montage of the show?
Yeah, highlights of the entire series of Smallville. And
they burnt off at least 10 to 15 minutes of the episode in montages.
And when Terrence stands for us, he goes, you had the power within you all along. I was like, just threw up on my living room floor. Let's check it out.
You threw up behind the bar.
You always had the power within you.
Oh, okay.
These were my trials.
Your final trial is upon you, my son.
Oh, shut up.
Kiss you are ready. Seize your destiny.
And then he flies into Darkseid, and that's the last we see
him. Why not, Kal-El?
Did you guys see in between the commercials?
Yeah.
They go, fans say farewell to Smallville. And it would
fans
go
on Facebook say farewell.
Facebook page says, greatest show ever. Sure we'll miss you guys. It's like, losers.
Yeah, you know, I let myself get caught up in it when I first watched it. Like, I got a little emotional with the scene in the barn with Jonathan Kent and Martha Kent. But then after I watched it a second time, I was like, this is really friggin' weak.
When Clark is introduced to the Superman outfit.
Yes.
When Jor-El says everything, hey, all right,
the papers
aside.
You mean the rags we never see him in?
Yeah. They show it come out of the ground, or in the ice in the Fortress of Solitude, right? The uniform. He holds it, and he drapes it over his shoulder, and now he can fly. And then he, like, switches into it as he's flying, you know, go on, save the world or whatever from this giant ball of evil. And they never show him in the suit. Did you notice that?
Nope, only from a distance, those really bad digital shots of him next to the plane.
When they overlaid the Fleischer animation of him flying at a distance, but whenever they show close up, it's neck up.
Yeah, it's his
really
head. Just
and
his
you can
head.
Kind of see red cape billowing in the background. It was so awkward.
Yeah.
And he saves – okay, first of all, if there's this giant floating ball of evil in the sky, let's get the president in the air in an airplane. Did that
Why
make
not?
Peace? And let's get Lois on board.
Get Lois on board somehow.
And I love when
I liked how Lois snuck on board by knocking out the actual
yeah.
Like, corner, and they didn't check her ID at all.
Security is horrible on Air Force One. And this wasn't even, this was like a Learjet or something, wasn't it? Yeah. But when Clark flies up and he's in the outfit and his face is in the window, he's got a shitting and grin, and Lois is like, ah! She's like, he got his costume! It's just like, oh my God!
On.
I was like, this is a pile of shit! It's horrible! And by the way, I forgot to mention, when he goes to get his uniform, it's another montage scene.
Oh, yeah.
Before
oh, yes.
he gets it. And the music is horrible. I think my dad did it. It's, I'm not to say my dad did poor music, but it's very,
no,
like,
you can say that.
It's very synthesizer sounding, isn't it?
Well, they didn't have the budget for an orchestra.
Oh, man.
Wasted it all on the fireball planet Apocalypse.
Oh, and then when he's flying towards the fireball planet, they show Green Arrow, his one last scene where he's like, go get him, Clark. It's like, ugh.
Shoots an arrow into the sky.
I'm going to shoot a sonic boom arrow or something. Nah, I got nothing against the planet. So anyway, he flies into the planet, and what does he do? Sends it into space. Pushes
oh,
it back.
That's to convenient.
Her. And it'll be back later in the future when
yeah,
Corbin
what if
Dallas
intersects with some other planet's orbit and, like, destroys a part of our solar system. Or,
yeah, didn't it look like it was so close? You would look up, and it looked like it was in our atmosphere,
right.
But then they show it in space, and it's bigger than Earth! And it's like, wait a second! And it was yeah. close enough where it looked like the ocean was boiling, you know?
Yeah, it was in our atmosphere. They weren't real big on scale.
And they go back and forth! And then Clark, because he has his new outfit, he can just push it into space or whatever.
Yeah.
So cut to the future, and she finishes reading the Small Milk comic to her son, Chloe does. And, they're working at the Daily Planet, and then mm-hmm. somebody needs help, and they play the Superman John Williams score. Awkward.
It's just out of bounds.
Sounded horrible. He runs out on the
and he's
roof.
Got a CGI shirt on.
He doesn't even... He's still... There, was there a DC's like, you never have Tom Welling in this outfit?
Well, I think you're right. I think that's
like,
exactly
well,
what
no,
happened.
No, we need to because it's the final. I don't give a shit about your stupid show. You're not yeah. having
you're,
him.
You should feel lucky we let you go on this long.
And they're like, oh, okay. Well, I guess we won't have him in the outfit. Oh, I know. We'll just show him from the neck up. No one will notice. Yes, we will. And also, did you notice in the future that Lex is the president?
Yes, yeah. And apparently, so. What I don't understand is if he doesn't remember anything.
Oh, yeah. We forgot to. He kills Tess. And yes. as she's dying, she goes, neurotoxin. You'll forget everything in 30 seconds. Oh, she's yeah. dead. Oh, shit. Who is she? I don't remember. Oh, it worked. What?
Who is this dead girl I'm holding?
I don't like black suits. I'm going to wear white ones now.
Did I kill her?
Oh, there's
What's
a
the
murdered,
poo on my face?
There's a murdered woman in here. She's
who murdered this woman?
And by the way, what happened to the cloned Lex who she was hiding?
He's Superboy.
Yeah, I read that. Huh?
Holland, or whatever.
So what'd you guys think of the finale? I didn't want to shit all over this show. I just wanted
it
to be...
You didn't have to. It shits on itself.
I just wanted to be an average, as good as average small little episode, but it was a disaster. None of the plot made sense. The whole threat all season went away easily. All he had to do was fly into it real fast.
Yeah.
Lionel from another dimension killed easily. Tess, she's not in the comics. We need to kill her off. It's like, sorry, honey, you're not in the comics.
I'm surprised Chloe survived.
Yeah.
I was, yeah, kind of surprised.
So... That's Smallville.
It's just awful. It's always been an awful show. Well, I have to say up until about season 4 or 5, then it got really bad. Wow. I think they just ran out of ideas.
You will lose your soul.
The voice of Darkseid was so bad. But this, I love the, here's the Smallville announcer.
Fly on, Kal-El.
Fly on.
Yes, indeed. Fly on. Now, Bill, one more show. goodbye, Smallville. We'll never mention you again. Maybe in the DVD segment. Now, Bill, James Osland, he says things that have to do with the mouth a lot of times. Remember the last episode? He said something like, it was really rough on the roof of my mouth.
Yes, he loves things in his mouth.
Well, actually, before I even get to this, that's a tease. You guys will find out in a second. But they had to make things in microwaves. And, you know, chefs are like, ugh, microwaves. Oh, my God. Can you believe this? But I loved how kind of pissy they got when Frangela, the...
The last time I saw them was on, like, I Love the 80s on VH1 10 years ago.
The last time I saw them, honestly, was I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here on NBC.
Oh, yeah, they were on that.
Yeah, until they were eaten by lions. But apparently they're back alive on this show. And all the chefs are like, ugh, like being an expert in microwaves is something you brag about or something. It was just funny. Let's check this out. Oh, and by the way, Curtis gives uncomfortable laughter to all of their humor because they're not funny.
They're not funny at all.
You'll be working with an appliance that millions of Americans use every day. The microwave.
Microwaves cook in a really strange style. Yeah, I think we had the first edition of the microwave oven back in 1976. I had one friend who wasn't allowed over because his parents were scared of radiation.
Your challenge is to use your microwave to make breakfast. Our guest diners are two working women on the go. They're always traveling and they have to piece together meals, often out of a microwave. You have 10 minutes to create your breakfast dish, but your microwave is your only source of heat and your dish must be hot.
Today, our guest diners are Francis and Angela. They're two comedians that are better known as Frangela.
And do you know your way around a microwave?
Never heard of them.
Oh, we are masters of microwaves.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
When you get off the stage at 1 or 2 a.m., there's nothing open.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes,
I don't have
there
a problem
is
with stoves. The city of Los Angeles has requested that I no longer
lots
use my stove.
Open 24 hours.
Let's dig in and try this first one. This is a biscuit egg sandwich with bacon, chanterelles, and spinach. That's good.
Yeah, it is good. It's a class of, you know, biscuit sandwich.
Yes.
I mean, the biscuit was just a little heavy. It didn't taste like my grandma's biscuits.
It didn't? Wow.
No.
Okay.
Because it was cooked in a microwave, you freaking idiot.
For knowing a ton about microwaves.
The next chef has created a baked egg with chanterelle, tomatoes, spinach, and bacon.
I think it's really cool looking. I'm more of a fan of a runnier yolk, so I wish it was a little less cooked.
Microwave.
It's like it was made in a microwave. Bacon is fantastic.
You stupid bitch.
This is a warm goat cheese and avocado sandwich with bacon, vinaigrette, and basil. Let's have a little taste.
All right, it was a little hard. Excuse me.
It's a little messy to eat. This is a lovely midnight snack.
Uh-huh.
You come in from the bar.
I think breakfast is something that is so interpretive, and some people like traditional breakfast and some don't. So that's
some
the way
like
the cookie parts crumbles.
This is a chanterelle bacon spinach omelette with grilled tomatoes. I think I've had something pretty similar to this on an airplane once before.
Oh, come on, you.
But it tastes better than that.
But it does have that look.
It's a microwave. What do you expect?
The texture came out lovely. Flavors are great. And to do that in the microwave for 5 minutes, amazing.
I was totally surprised. They loved my omelet, and that made me very happy.
So our last chef has created a dish called œuf en cocotte with chanterelles and bacon and bananas with lime. It's an interesting presentation. Right?
Yeah, I think the presentation is amazing.
It reminds me of the Caribbean a little bit.
I can smell the tropical breeze.
If you're hot at all,
smell
you can
the
take off your shirt. We don't mind.
That's the way you cook.
If that's how
we
you
don't
cook
want to stop.
We don't want to interfere with how you do.
I got
right
a tip for you, though.
Why
like
are these people
never
on my
bacon
TV?
Naked.
Good note.
Good note.
And then we use a meat grinder naked, too.
That wasn't funny. All right. Well, now, remember I teased
like
you.
Sausage.
They have to do school chemistry stuff with their food, right?
What a disaster. Who came up with this challenge?
I know. And
you have to use beakers and Bunsen burners to cook with.
Yeah. And it was great. So let's check this out where they all... James Osland seems really pissy in this episode. Maybe he thought it was just... maybe he just thought it was beneath him. But listen as he critiques the food, and then everyone listen to the last thing he says.
Penis!
That's not... Bill,
What?
Worse.
Worse.
Okay, I gotta hear this.
I've got to say, that was one of the most unusual challenges that we've had.
If I never eat out of a Petri dish again, that would be an okay thing.
I know, especially that salad, you know, that you gave us.
It's just
messy and difficult to balance, yeah. Even.
This was the least ambitious. I mean, I felt like he really mailed it in.
My biggest gripe really was the mayonnaise was almost an afterthought in the dish.
And then there was that overbreaded
loves his mayonnaise
okra.
That cornmeal breading, it was almost like sand.
I felt that Tracy's food was very smart food.
The ceviche itself, oh God, whatever. It just really, it wasn't that delicious for me. And it didn't really demonstrate the principle of acidity as it interacts with the protein. It didn't, I'm sorry.
It was very obvious. Lemon is the first thing you think of acid. And there is a cornucopia of different examples of acid. And I'd have liked to see more.
Now, when it comes to Naomi's demonstration, I just want to know whether I missed the demonstration or whether she wasn't doing one, because all that she really had were the different doughs that you could go up and check the gluten content of the different flours.
Unfortunately, the gelée made Naomi's dough soggy rather than crisp, so you lost any pleasure of biting into something crunchy and then something gooey.
God, it's true. That melting gelée did really spurt in your mouth in the most unpleasant way.
Oh. Oh my God.
He makes it too easy.
He really does. He knows what we're doing on the show, and he's giving us more material.
It's like a fruit gusher. I just want it to explode in my mouth.
Spurt in your mouth in the most unpleasant way.
Oh. And what what way would be pleasant, James?
Oh God, whatever.
Wow. Oh, and Hugh was kicked off the show this week.
No. I thought inappropriately that Tracy should have went home.
Yeah. Oh. I was waiting for her to...
Hugh's was my favorite
she
one
She didn't
on
even
there.
Look like she took it seriously to me. And
no,
I,
she was very beneath her.
He argued about the mayonnaise, so I think James Olsen was like, we need to get rid of him. Most unpleasant. Ugh.
Your mayonnaise needs to be creamy and white.
And filled with protein.
Protein's from the egg yolk.
Oh my God.
You will lose your soul.
Huh? All right, Bill, you ready to do some news?
Let's do some news. Sorry, just spurted it in my mouth.
Oh, hey, Bill, you got to know this, though.
You have always had the power within you, my son.
Oh, you mean all these seasons?
I have been so down lately, and that really kind of lifts me up. It buoys my depression.
Buoys. Well, you know what I say to that, Bill?
Fly on, Kal-El.
Fly on!
Fly on, you little whippersnapper, you. All right, guys, let's do the news!
Destiny.
Oh, okay. All right, Bill, what have we got in the news this week?
I'm going to seize it. Bozeman, Montana, 32-year-old Three Forks man accused of hitting his pregnant sister in the mouth with a wrench during her wedding reception has been sentenced to 3 years of probation.
Wow.
Where did he have a wrench in at the wedding reception? District Judge John Brown sentenced David James
Sullivan.
I think he's a creeper.
Yes, he is. On Wednesday, and ordered him to perform 50 hours of community service. Oh, okay.
I feel bad.
I'm gonna bash my pregnant bride sister in the mouth of a wrench. Get 50 hours of community service. Right.
Well, he had his reasons, right?
Amy, prosecutors say he arrived at the reception uninvited. You son of
this
a bitch.
Joke.
Pushed his sister's new mother-in-law to the ground. Well, no one likes the mother-in-law. And started fighting with the groom. Witnesses Roll say down. He later came at his sister with a wrench. The bride told police he slapped her intoxicated brother and responded by hitting her with the wrench. He apologized and said he was anxious to start probation and put the incident behind him. Yeah. Masontown, Pennsylvania police used a taser, pepper spray, and a police dog to arrest a Fayette County man, Bruce Balsega.
Yes.
Of Smithville was shot with the taser at least 5 times.
Holy shit.
Hit once with pepper spray as officers attempted to subdue him. Investigators say Balsega was passed out in his own vomit on the front steps of the Masontown
nice.
Borough building. Yeah, that's always a good sign. When police said they called for paramedics to come check him out, he took off. Oh, he was doing the possum routine. They should have done that to her on The Apprentice.
He sounds very effeminate, doesn't he?
Balsega ran from the police twice as they tried to arrest him. Twice.
God, whatever.
Wow.
So that means he got free from them not once, but twice.
I mean, that just
Balsega
sounds terrible.
Was also accused of trying to grab an officer's taser. Also, he was going to fight back.
If
at one point, he actually tried to disarm the officer.
On my mother's life.
They had the taser trying to deploy it, and he reached up and tried to grab it from the officer, which fortunately didn't happen. Yeah, no shit. He faces 5 felony charges, including flight to avoid arrest, disarming a law enforcement, and defiant trespassing.
Wow, that's against the law to disarm a cop?
Apparently. I thought maybe, you know.
I had a few cocktails.
They don't like when you do that.
It's not like he was going to hurt the cop.
He's like,
or anything.
I was just kidding. Here, have it back. Bap! Oh, dude, what is that? Kiss the law or something?
Just minding my own business, laying in my own vomit. Leave me alone. You're pretty. Hamilton, New Jersey, a woman who may have been engaged in sexual activity in a township cemetery Tuesday evening was injured.
Damn amazing.
When a tombstone fell on her leg.
Ouch!
That's
39-year-old woman. Well, that's just way too old for sex in a cemetery. I'm sorry. And the administration of the Avath Israel Cemetery declined to press charges. Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah, you know, you're a weird lady. Just get out of here.
Please, stop having sex in our cemetery. The woman was with a male friend in the graveyard just before 7 p.m. visiting the grave of a relative. Oh, well, that always turns me on.
That doesn't bother me.
When the two engaged in some extracurricular activities, one of the grave markers rolled onto the woman's leg. The woman was taken by ambulance to Capital Health Regional
they
Medical Center.
They must be getting rough, man. Knock
you never
out.
Know.
So yeah, what am I going to do?
That, when you're that close to death, you kind of go at it.
Are you crazy?
I love that the cemetery has declined to charge or talk to anybody. Like, please, just drop it.
That's nice.
Yeah, so, there's things you want to have in the news. This is
yeah,
not one of them.
Don't even print our cemetery name,
please. Yeah, please. We don't want to become the sex cemetery.
I feel bad.
We've got the most comfortable mausoleums in town. Come on down.
I mean, that just
we
sounds
actually
terrible.
We have beds in them. All right, Albany, New York. This one goes in the genius department. A police horse stepped and kicked two police officers who were trying to arrest two disorderly men Thursday night. After one of the men shoved a third officer, police said the officers were slightly injured. whenever there was a scuffle at Pine Street where Jesse Poletto and Zachary Poletto were charged with assault. Officers Daniel Sieber, Michael Garrisi, and Lotka Kravitz? Wait, Sadka Kitioni Yee tried to quell the disruptive and combative men, but they refused repeated orders to leave the area. When Sieber tried to arrest Poletto, police said he shoved Sieber and did not allow the officer to put handcuffs on him. Get your handcuffs off me. Then Poletto then pulled the officer to the ground, and that's when the horse went batshit.
What does that move me?
You know, something, you know, I think these horses should be trained not to get by drunken idiots pulling people off of them.
Why do they still have those horse cops, by the way?
Yeah.
Is it just a tradition? Or?
They're so high and mighty. I always think that, like, they're so arrogant. Like, yeah, that's right. I'm off the first. I need to borrow your horse. That was my favorite part of True Lies. A horse chase with a motorcycle.
My favorite part is that he tries to jump and it won't do it.
Yeah, the horse won't jump.
It's like, no.
God, I love True Lies. All right, they're trying to arrest Zachary Poletto when he became combative as well. The officers struggled to handcuff him. The police horse in the area to control the crowd stepped on the officer's knee. The horse also kicked the other officer in the head. the two brothers, the Poletto brothers, the brothers Poletto, were arraigned in Albany City Court, charged with second-degree assault, and charged with third-degree assault.
You have the manners of a goat.
Don't pull guys off their horses, especially when they're cops.
Yeah, that's uncool, man.
You can pick a better fight than with a mounted police officer.
You smell like a dung heap.
All right, in Speedway, Indiana, a man is recovering.
Place sounds fast.
So fast. Man is recovering from a dangerous bite to his thumb from a kitten. You know, those suckers, they spread disease. Cute and small, but man, they'll make your thumb fall off. Greg Wyatt, 24, called police Thursday afternoon after a kitten in a wood pile nipped him on the right thumb. Oh, that's a mean fucking cat.
No, that's a mean cat.
That is a rabid cat. That thumb's going to fall right off. Wyatt said the kitten bit him when he tried to tie a string around its neck. What the hell is he doing?
What?
He's trying to hang the cat. When police arrived, the kitty was tied to a tree.
What? Aw. I'm going to go pet that kitty. Oh, you're so cute.
Oh! Officer Chris Helmer described the cat in the report as very calm and non-aggressive.
Let's see, he's very furry. His ears are showing.
Cat is a bus. This cat is fluffy and adorable. It's got very pretty eyes, and I would like to pet it.
He's adorable.
Helmer said that Wyatt had a punctured through his right thumbnail.
Oh,
wow, it bit hard.
Holy
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, and all the way to the bottom of his thumb? Whoa. Or no, puncture. Okay, so on the nail and the bottom of the thumb. So it got a good... It's a crazy cat.
What the hell was he doing to that cat?
They don't like what's string around.
Do you guys remember when my cat bit me and I had to get a tetanus shot?
Yes, I remember that.
I also had to get like 50 cc's of antibiotics in my ass. Because the next
day. Bit you on the ass?
The next day we went to the zoo and we were walking around and stuff. And I was like, man, my arm really hurts. And I had red streaks going up my arm from where. Because I got bit on the wrist.
Yeah, that's
by
bad.
A lobstrosity.
So I had a lobstrosity bite, basically. And I actually had the streaks. And I was like, I think I need to go to the doctor. And I went, and they're like, the doctor's like, that's bad. We're going to soak your arm in Epsom salt and stuff, and then we're going to give you a shot in your ass. And I remember it was like a lot because
I felt James Oslin walked in and said, bend over.
I was like, no. And I was like, why do I have to have this in my mouth? I thought it was in my ass.
It's first in your mouth in the most unpleasant way.
Oh, Jesus. But anyway, I was better.
James Oslin. Oh, God. Are we done with news? You tell us. I think we're done.
I think we're going to leave it at that.
All right, Bill, is that the news this week?
Yes, that's the news.
All right, Bill, thanks for doing the news. What do you say we do some DVDs?
Let's do them.
Let's mosey on down to the DVD corner. All right. All right, Bill, let's do some DVDs.
DVDs!
HD, Blu-ray, standard definition! DVDs! Oh, hell, yizzle the DVD-dizzles! Right, guys?
Right.
Everybody with me on that?
Oh, we're
no,
with you.
Okay.
That's creepy.
Hey.
He's a creeper.
Come on.
Wasn't that a comic book character?
The Creeper.
I think you're right. The Creeper. I think it's a DC character.
It's like a Steve Ditko creation or something.
Did he wear a mask?
He's in an episode of Smallville. I mean, an issue of Smallville. Damn it, I missed that.
Yeah, the Creeper.
All right, Bill, we have any DVDs this week?
Yeah. Would you like to hear about them?
I'm not here to party my ass off.
Well, neither am I, so let's get to it.
This is serious business.
All right, DVDs for Tuesday, June 7th, 2011, starting off with a documentary called American, The Bill Hicks Story.
Pretty damn amazing.
Bill Hicks was a very funny comedian who died long before his time.
Wow, that's not that. That's kind of sad, isn't it?
Yeah.
Why did he die before his time?
Because he was young when he died.
But I mean, did he smoke and drink a lot? Or
yes,
he died from cancer. I know that.
Yeah,
he was. He did smoke.
I mean, that just sounds terrible.
What did he? What did he die of? Let me look it up here real quick. I haven't had a chance to watch it yet, but I know it's on demand. Pancreatic cancer. Yeah, that's hilarious.
That's
it spread to his liver. But yeah, he's a very funny comedian. I remember whenever he had a... what was it? I think it was a Letterman appearance that was really huge. It sort of made him... very funny guy. I haven't seen it yet. I've heard about it, but I definitely want to watch it.
Yeah, he came out with what? The same times as Sam Kinison. And...
Yeah. So it's called American, the Bill Hicks Story. Moving on DVD, Universal's continuing to release Marx Brothers films. This one, Animal Crackers. Often considered as their most quoted film.
What do you think, Steven? Do you love it?
I haven't seen Animal Crackers. I've seen.
Which one is your favorite one?
I like A Night in Casablanca. That's one of my favorites.
What about you, Bill? Oh, Severin, do you like the Marx
Brothers? Duck Soup, I think, was really the first one I was ever exposed to, and it seems to be my favorite film of theirs.
What's your favorite Marx Brothers, Severin?
Duck Soup.
Oh, Severin agrees with you. Pretty cool.
Yep. Moving on.
on Blu-ray and DVD, we have the, is it Mike Lee? I believe it's Mike Lee. Yeah, Mike Lee film Another Year with Jim Broadbent and Ruth Sheen, which actually got some really good reviews about a an older couple and the whole idea of being elderly and looking at life in another way. And, you know, and it's Mike Lee, so it's funny, it's depressing, it's funny and depressing.
Oh.
So there you go. You know, Mike Lee did, like, the film Naked with, was it David Thewlis? You ever see that one?
No.
No. I like the British answer. Thank you.
What does incompetent mean?
David Thewlis. I remember he was the bad guy in Dragonheart. So
yes, he was.
So?
Well, I was just pointing it out.
Why's he got to be so, you know, condescending? And
I know.
It's terrible.
I wonder
so
what
mean.
Is
a
Spanish peacock.
Huh?
Cock.
I would literally rather be like swimming in pee.
Oh.
All right. Moving on. I'm going to leave it that. No. Moving on, we have Breaking Bad, the complete third season on Blu-ray.
Cool.
Love Breaking Bad. Huge fan of Breaking Bad.
I still haven't watched it, Bill.
It's an excellent show.
Don't tell anybody. I'm going to catch up on it.
All right. I won't tell anybody.
You know, because it's just like, you know.
Make yourself a good
Hey. Trying. Oh, wait. Guys, I got an impression for you. You guys want to hear this?
Yeah.
No, I can't do impressions.
I can do Sean Connery.
No, you can't. Whoever told you that is a liar.
All right. Is this moving on. On Blu-ray, we finally, on an HD format, get a release of Death at a Funeral. No, not the remake with all the black comedians, but the funny original directed by Frank Oz. Yes.
Is that the funeral very, music?
It's very dirgy.
Dirgy?
Love Frank Oz.
I love this film. It's really, really funny. And Peter Dinklage has a great role in it. So
also, you know who's really funny is Wash.
Yes, Alan Tudyk.
Yes, to all you Firefly fans.
he's like tripping out during the entire film, and he's excellent in it. But very good, very funny. Get it. Rent it.
I hate that guy.
And ignore the remake entirely. Please. Please.
So funny. Made me laugh.
All right. My DVD or my Blu-ray of the week. I think you can't get much better for this. And I love Warner Brothers for it. On one Blu-ray, a double feature, Every Which Way But Loose and Any Which Way You Can.
Oh, hell yes.
Yes. A double feature Blu-ray of awesomeness.
Hell
I don't
yeah.
know how one Blu-ray can contain both films, but it can.
Every Which Way But Loose? I mean, come on.
I love these movies, and I think because my dad showed them to me when I was really, really young, probably like 5 or 6, and just the fact that he had an ape, or an orangutan, was amazing to me. I wanted Clyde.
I can't. How many? I can't even think of how many times we watched those movies.
Yeah, it was
God
a lot.
God damn it!
I love to.
It still cracks me up every time. I love these films. They are so goofy and so
damn.
I love Ruth Gordon. She's great.
Oh, so funny.
Some of a bitch.
And in both movies, it's like Clint Eastwood is such an asshole that
rapping all over the place.
He can't. Philo Beto cannot help himself.
Philo
he is
Beto.
No better than Clyde.
I know.
And I think that's what makes it so great is that these two characters are one and the same.
It's really great.
And I love one of the perfect scenes that sets it up is. I think it's in Every Which Way But Loose whenever it's the lovemaking scene and it's flashing between the different motel rooms.
Right.
And you've got Philo and...
my ass.
Yeah, and that might be the second thing. One, any which way you can, where they get another orangutan from the zoo.
Yes.
For Clyde.
Yes.
And Philo
and Clyde are doing the exact same thing.
Yeah, it was really
Hank
silly.
From the light fixture.
And those movies were, like, really successful, too, weren't they? Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they were.
They're so, like, if you watch them now, it's just like, how did these get greenlit, you know? It's like, just movies were different then, you know?
Yeah, I think that they knew, you know, they had Clint Eastwood, and he was a pretty big star by
right.
then.
Yeah.
And they kind of just went, you know what? We trust you. Do whatever you want.
Ah, and I, shit.
I think they knew that the movies were just so damn goofy that people would buy into it.
Right, I'm trying to remember the motorcycle gang's name. What were they?
The oh, spider.
The Witches. Black Widows.
The Black Widows.
Spike, yeah, I can say Spike.
I just remember the one that had the big spider on his stomach.
Yeah, it's so gross. This is awesome.
And they're always like one step behind Philo.
Yeah.
I think, was it Any Which Way You Can where they get tarred and feathered?
God, I can't. I just remember.
That's the one I remember because when they pulled all the, you know, pull everything off in them, they're all hairless and the big spider's right on his belly.
Yeah. And remember the guy with the guitar on the plane or whatever, Bill, is the cracker from Riding with Death. He's in
yes.
it. He's like, they're singing the Yippee-Yi-Yo Cow Patty song. Remember that?
Yep. Yep.
Gold, Jerry, gold.
God, I love these. So I cannot wait to get it. I already have a pre-order.
Genius.
Already go.
But I always love Bronco Billy also.
Bronco Billy's another one of those movies that was really kind of, it didn't have a genre.
It's just a strange movie. I love it.
I mean, that just sounds terrible.
Ah, Bentley, get bent. Bentley. Who names their kid Bentley, by the way? Unless he was like, I want him to be a chauffeur.
Do you have any Grey Poupon?
I had a few cocktails.
Yes, you did. All right, moving on. We have Just Go With It on Blu-ray and DVD.
Okay.
If you guys want to really get something and win it, you just got to go for it.
Man, who was that?
That's George Bush. Wow. Incredible.
Wow, the president.
I just love, she's like, wow, you're so good. It's like,
so talented.
You're a liar.
you turned me on. You're so talented.
Wow.
You said you were from Spain. You're a liar.
I never said that. So, Bill, what's this movie about?
It's about going with it and just going
with
it. I'm
a man, not a fish.
All right. I want to just go with it. What are you going with?
I'll pass.
Who's in it? Who's the star? So I remember this.
This is Adam Sandler.
Oh, yeah. The one with Brooklyn Decker and she's in a bikini on the beach.
Oh, yes.
The worst thing I've ever heard.
Now, this film is a remake of, what the hell was it called? It had Goldie Hawn in it.
Okay. Overboard.
Was it?
Yes.
Cactus that, Flower?
Yes. There you go. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Overboard.
Overboard.
Private Benjamin.
Because the
band it's a remake
was there.
Of Cactus Flower.
Fly on, Kal-El.
You'll never hear them acknowledge that.
Damn it.
But it's Adam Sandler, Jennifer Aniston, Brooklyn Decker's hot. That's pretty much it. I can't watch anything with Jennifer Aniston. She just grates on my nerves.
Hey, Bill, what is this music from? I just amused myself. Do you have any idea?
It sounds familiar, but I couldn't tell you.
It's music from Night Trap, the Sega CD game.
Oh. Why the hell do you have that on there?
God, I remember playing that.
We were, Steven and you and I played that like one Friday night. And remember the Sega CD would lock up on the ending? They'd be like, well, we can't watch the ending. Oh, maybe something messed up. Let's start over.
What was the shark one?
The sewer shark.
Sewer shark.
Yeah.
Sewer shark.
So we played Night Trap over again. It's still locked up, so we never saw the ending. But yesterday I was messing around on YouTube, and I found, Bill, remember we watched this documentary?
Yes, Dangerous Games.
Dangerous Games. It was about how the Senate was, Night Trap was horrible, and it was going to ruin your children and stuff. It was so lame.
It was overtly sexual, and it had rape.
You look like a woman, you stupid haggis.
Hey.
That is the worst insult ever devised in a film. You stupid. And then, whenever he explains what haggis is, he doesn't even get it right.
What is haggis?
What do you do with haggis?
You eat it.
Oh, okay.
How revolting.
So what is he when he says what's in haggis, he's wrong?
He says it's meat and oats. It's innards.
Oh, no, he says this.
Sheep's stomach stuffed with meat and barley.
Yeah, but it's not meat and barley. It's like sheep's lung and stuff. It's the innards.
Achoo. Oh, God bless you.
I mean, it's even more nasty.
But Bill, he's the Highlander. How could he be wrong?
It's like heart, liver, lungs. It's nastiness.
Meat.
You complain endlessly.
Pretty much meat.
It doesn't tell you what kind.
Holy ground, Highlander! I'm sorry.
All right, moving on. Good Lord.
upset me.
Next Blu-ray is Walter Hill's The Long Riders.
The Long Riders.
This film is a long ride.
Long Riders.
And it's got the Keach brothers in it.
I remember this movie being pretty violent, I think.
Yeah.
It's got
the James Younger gang. It's the Quaids and the Keaches.
Yeah, it's got the Keach brothers, but doesn't it also have Carradines in it, too?
Yes, it does. It's got Keith Robert and David Carradine
in
it.
Yeah, that's some awesome casting, buddy.
And Christopher and Nicholas Guest. I mean, it's all brothers. It's very cool casting.
Sweet.
Oh, wow.
Hello?
I think it's one of Hill's best films.
I had a few cocktails.
Well, I'm going to differ with you there, because that's The Warriors!
I said one of.
Oh, okay.
Not his best, but one of.
Okay.
I mean, Hill's done some pretty good films.
Yes, he has. He's also a really weird dude.
He is beyond weird.
I feel bad.
No, don't feel bad, Ashley. It's okay.
All right, moving on. We have on Blu-ray The Outlaw Josie Wales.
Hey, I love Josie Wales.
Oh, laughing again. One of those films I was exposed to as a kid.
Oh my God! Oh, okay.
it exposed itself.
Josie, put that thing away. Whooped him again, Josie. Bill, you and I have both talked about our love for this film, haven't we?
Oh, God, yeah. It spit on my head.
Let's all remember Josie Wales, guys. Why do you have this? Ah, yes. Josie Wales. Such a great movie. I love when the flute comes in, Bill. Remember this part?
Oh, yes.
This is one of the most awesome credit sequences in the movie. Ah, yes. You know, at the very beginning of the movie, it shows Josie riding around, and they're just killing all the damn red legs. Wasn't that awesome? This makes me happy just listening.
The killing.
It does. I'm killing
smiling
James.
In the ear.
Isn't this great, Steven?
That is fiber work.
Yeah, it never ends. Come on. Here's the next part.
So happy this music.
I want to watch this. And this is on Blu-ray, Bill?
Yes, it is.
I want this. I must own this. Oh, and here's where it changes up. Listen to this. I almost hear F Troop starting up somewhere.
F Troop.
I was thinking Branded.
Branded. All right, here we go. The second part of the credits, Bill. The story is shifting in the opening credits. It's getting more serious. You know, that movie was seriously violent, and I loved it.
Yes, it was. It was very dark.
Yeah, it was. Josie was a mean, ornery some bitch, wasn't he? But he had a heart of gold. And I believe this movie, they set all those rules where someone working on a movie could never replace a director after this happened. I forget who it is, but they had a director of the movie. He got fired off of it, and Clint Eastwood was like, hell, I'll take over. And they made it where you can't do that anymore because of this. It didn't seem fair.
I can't remember. I can't remember who it was. But love this movie.
Josie Wales is one of my favorite movies of all time. I could watch it anytime it's on from any moment in the movie that it's in.
It was either Christmas or my birthday that you actually sent me the Josie Wales book. It was a double book. It had Gone to Texas and the sequel to it.
Right, the book that was based on the movie based on.
Yeah, the movie is based on Gone to Texas, and then there was another one, like The Return of Josie Wales or something. Not to be confused with the forgettable sequel with Michael Parks. Yeah.
I think we should never talk about that.
Yeah, we're not. And just move on. speaking of another excellent Western, I kid, it's Posse.
Oh, Mario Man Peebles, man! Yeah. He was immortal in one of them Highlander movies. Bill, remember that?
Yes, the third one. He was.
Yeah.
She's stomach stuffed with meat and barley.
Yeah, that's what that movie was about.
Yes. It's about the immortal haggis. And the argument over what was actually inside of it. Yeah, Posse. Woohoo.
You smell like a dung heap.
Yeah,
does. The movie smells like a dung heap. And also, I believe Stephen Baldwin is in it, too.
Yes. And who was the other white guy in it? There was a group of white guys.
Yeah, it was an all-black cast, but Stephen Baldwin.
Billy Zane was in it, too.
Oh.
He was the other white guy.
The other white meat.
All right. Next Blu-ray, actually, Blu-ray and DVD is Rubber, about the Killer Tire.
Oh, yeah. I don't know what to think of this, honestly.
It's such a one joke, one note movie that you shouldn't really think about it at all. Yeah, it's a telepathic tire that explodes people's heads.
Right.
What?
Yeah.
I've just seen bits of it, like where they're trying to lure it out of its room and stuff. It looks silly. But I wondered that, like, you see, you know, us sitting around a campfire. No, not a campfire. We're sitting around a table and we've been drinking and we're like, here's a movie. A tire is killing people. Oh, yeah. And it's like in Australia or something. But, you know,
and it's telekinetic.
Then we run out of – who goes through with the idea is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Right, Bill?
Yeah. I don't know what to tell you. It's pretty much inexcusable.
Colonel Ty.
He comes up with that idea.
A drunk Colonel Ty.
That's right.
See, it was his time.
Stupid haggis.
Hey!
All right, next on Blu-ray, Blu-ray 3D, and a digital copy for extra measure, James Cameron presents Sanctum 3D.
I can do magic with food.
Ooh, Sanctum.
I like the way you talk. Mm-hmm.
I got jittery eyes.
You talk funny. Terrible.
You know what this movie, Sanctum, it looked like it would probably be a movie that's cool to watch in 3D, but whenever they talked in the commercial, it sounded horrible.
Richard Roxburgh.
Well, we know that guy's worth seeing a movie.
Yes, he's excellent. He can really carry a film.
Wasn't he What movie was he the villain in? Was that
Van Helsing?
Van Helsing, yeah.
Yeah, he was Dracula.
Oh, wow.
Hello?
moving on. We have The Stuntman.
You're scary.
Oh, that's a great movie. The Stuntman with Stephen Railsback, Peter O'Toole.
I remember it.
Yes.
It's got a fantastic score, too. And if my dad was here, he could tell me who did it. But it's very iconic score.
It is an iconic score.
I remember doing a little musical act to that.
Yeah, it's great. I would love to see that again.
Wait, you did a musical act? Like,
swimming in pee.
You swam in pee?
No, wait, what was it, Laura? You did a dance routine.
Yeah, we did we used to do little shows for my dad and whoever his current wife was. And
I mean, that just sounds terrible.
That's just rude.
You know when you're like kids and you put on a show or
yeah,
whatever.
We used that music and did a dance number.
Okay.
But have you ever seen The Stuntman, Bill?
I haven't. I've always wanted to.
It's a great film.
I actually pre-ordered it. It's in my group of DVDs that should be coming, or I'm sorry, Blu-rays.
No, I don't know what information you have on it, but they're actually in the DVD release. It was a double disc. They had a documentary on how much of a pain in the ass it was making the movie.
Okay.
It was actually like a nightmare, and I'm wondering if that's on this release.
Well, it doesn't say, but let me look up what the release looks like here.
Why was it a nightmare?
In 22 seconds, I could break your fucking spine.
Whoa. You'll have to watch the documentary, Lauren.
Well, it actually has gotten some pretty good reviews on Blu-ray.com. It's got good video quality.
Everyone should go watch The Stuntman. Who directed that, by the way?
That was Richard Rush.
Richard Rush. I've actually used a part of The Stuntman in an intro before, which is funny, and that's where that drop comes from.
Oh, it's also got DTS Master Audio 5.1 on it. Nice. And it says it's fairly effective.
What is it?
Fairly effective.
What does that mean?
Well, I think for a film that was originally done in 2.0 to redo it in a 5.1.
They mean the sound is effective?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I thought they meant the movie. This movie is fairly effective. Well, what does that mean? I have no idea what it means, but I just said it.
All right. So it's got, The Sinister Saga, The Making of the Stuntman.
Right. So basically, here's what you do. You watch The Stuntman, and then you watch that, and it's really awesome.
It's got a couple deleted scenes, but it's also got new stuff. Cool. On the Blu-ray, exclusive to the Blu-ray, Maverick Career of Richard Rush, which is a 30-minute documentary of his influence from the American International Pictures, which are actually like grindhouse quality films that
I had a few.
I know a lot of MST3K films were American International Pictures. Peter O'Toole recounts The Stuntman in a recent interview, 20 minutes long of that. That should be interesting.
I love you. And there's, I miss you, Peter.
They interviewed him from the grave.
Spine. All right, you break our spine, okay? Jesus. Is that the only drop we have, Foggy? Jesus.
Yep, I'm looking forward to watching this, because I've heard you talk about it before. So
yeah, incredible score, too. I said that, too, so I'm going to shut up now.
Did it have an incredible score?
I'm trying to remember who did it.
Who?
Who did the score?
Tim.
Tim the snorer.
He's a little drunk.
Up.
That wasn't part of the
score. Was it Dominic Frontieri?
That doesn't sound
I think Dominic Frontier.
Frontier. But he shouldn't have an E on the end of his name if he doesn't want it to be Frontieri.
That's creepy.
That's it. Dominic Frontieri. I'm going to make a pizza pie.
All right there, Pasquale. Calm down.
What is haggis?
You already know what haggis is. Come on.
What does incompetent mean?
All right, Bill, go ahead.
We will do this last Blu-ray, and I'm telling you, it is the last one. It's the final Blu-ray. True Grit on Blu-ray, DVD, and digital copy.
Aw, oh, come on, just one more Blu-ray?
No, this is the final Blu-ray.
Ah, True Grit, the Jeff Bridges one?
Yes, the Ethan Joel Cohen version.
Cool. I enjoyed the movie. And if you want to see Jeff Bridges chew up the scenery, this is a movie you got to see. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed the film.
Bless you. Yeah, I did too. It was good stuff. The Coen brothers. Hey, it's the Coen brothers. You know what I'm saying, Steve?
It makes me sad, though, that they chose to put Peter Travis on the cover of it. And, like, that guy is such a friggin' hog, cinema critic whore.
A tour de force.
Great filmmaking. Great acting. Great movie.
Oh, really, Peter? I guess I'll watch it now because you said that. I'm going to watch it in spite of your ass, Pete Travers.
He might as well have just said a triumph.
Yeah. A love story of shattering impact. That was one of my favorites. It was To the Abyss when it was out. And that just cracked me up. It's a love story.
Shattering impact.
Oh, my ribs! Ah! This love story made me crack my ribs! This is a dangerous movie to watch!
Spurt in your mouth in the most unpleasant way.
Now, why go there, James Osland? Come on.
He can't help himself.
Drag this show in the gutter, bastard.
That does bother me.
It bothers me too, drunk guy.
He's going to eat one of his shitty Wendy's burgers.
Pretty damn amazing.
Oh, yeah. I still haven't seen a James Osland. I'm going to have to look on the YouTube for the James Osland.
I'm going to look and see if it's on there
YouTube.
Because those things suck.
Wendy's burgers. Steven.
Is Steven sleeping?
No, Steven's not sleeping.
He's just staring at me, puzzled.
What?
I'm not here to party my ass off.
I'm here to party my ass off.
Somebody has to have it. Why has somebody not put the James Osland Wendy's commercials on YouTube? Why?
I know.
So funny. Made me laugh.
It'll be on by the end of the week now. Somebody will do it.
Yeah, somebody's going to do it for us, Bill.
Yeah, right.
Hot dog.
Yes. And that was the final DVD Blu-ray.
Come on, Bill. With just one more Blu-ray?
No, that was the final one.
Does anybody want another Blu-ray?
Yes.
Who is that? Who's the peanut gallery out there? What's going on?
He's either a genius or a moron.
All right, Bill. Thanks for doing the DVDs this week.
You're welcome.
I think he's a creeper.
Thank you. Good night. Here all week. Try the veal. And...
Everybody, that was episode 238 of No More Mulberry. Thank you for listening and thank you for welcoming us back. If you did do that, then thank you. Go to nowheremulberry.com. You can find a link to our forum. Join the forum and start writing stuff. We'd appreciate it. Go to nimpodcast@gmail.com and send us an email or call 1-206-202-3491 and send us a voicemail. Also, you could follow us on Twitter. Steven's been tweeting a couple of times this week. It was incredible. It's the sign of the apocalypse. Also, you can find us on Facebook. That you might want to do that and stuff like that. Also, look for our postings. We will let you guys know on when our first commentary is coming out, and we're going to have special things. Get ready to spend that money and buy our product because we're here to stay, Bill, and we're going to put out some funny shit. You know what I'm saying?
Is there someone clapping?
Yeah, it's me. I'm doing my Gordon Ramsay. So, Bill, here's what we're going to do.
Damn, damn, damn.
Damn, damn, damn.
Such a donkey.
So, guy, hey!
Oh, by the way, in the last episode of Gordon's Great Escape, he does that thing where he walks away and says something relating to the episode, and it just made me laugh out loud.
I love that. Oh, dear, oh, dear.
Oh, dear, oh, dear.
Well, also, I want to thank Laura and Steven and Bill. Thank you guys for being here. But I want to thank most of all Severin for sitting here bored out of your mind the whole time. Huh? Did you have a good time?
Yes.
All right. Good stuff. And maybe someday you can be on the mic. You got to play your cards right, kid. Right, guys?
Right.
Right.
Whatever. Let's go.
So, guys, also... You got to make sure. I really am doing that. I'm going to grip the armrests. So I'll stop clapping my hands. Bill will plan another NIM movie night. And it should be a lot of fun.
Cannot wait.
And guys, follow us on Twitter. Hopefully you guys will retweet me when you see I announce it. Anybody following me or Bill or Steven or Laura? And also if you follow us on Facebook, look out for that. So, guys, thank you for joining us this week. And we'll see you next week, guys. Have
see
a good one.
Woo.
Later days, man.
Later. Now. Get out.
No! Help! Help! Help!
I would literally rather be, like, swimming in pee.
Now this is podcasting.
I can do Sean Connery.
I mean, that just sounds terrible.
You have the manners of a goat.
Yes, Gary.
He's either a genius or a moron.
What the
What?
I feel bad.
In your mouth in the most unpleasant way.